Blog Talk Radio.
You are now rocking to the beats with the East Coast music mogul, DJ Mike Q, Queen Beat Productions, DJMikeQ.com.
Live in the mix.
Mike Cuny.
Thank you. Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012. Doors open at 5 p.m. Admission $30 all night. Location, Symphony Ballroom at the Blake Hotel, Uptown, Charlotte, North Carolina. Commentators, Icon Jack Mizrahi and Icon J Manolo Blahnik. DJ, Legendary Vonalore. Grand Prize, $1,500. Bush Queen Realist with a Twist, Mini Grand Prize. $500, Bush Queen Vogue set, mini grand prize, $500, book queen European runway. Categories include male figure versus female figure, two trophies, one cash prize of $250, book queen face, one trophy, one cash prize of $250. Open to all, foot and eye, male figure versus female figure, two trophies, one cash prize of $250. Open to all, team treatment, one trophy, one cash award of $300, and 13 other $100 categories. The 4th Annual Carolina Awards Ball, Saturday, May 5th, 2012, Charlotte, North Carolina. See you there!
Of the Rich and Famous Ball, Sunday, March 24th, 2012, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Fort Cheyenne Casino and Event Center, 2428 East Cheyenne Avenue, North Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hosted by the legendary mother, Divine Chanel. Commentated by the icon, Jack Mizrahi. We are proud to say we offer the biggest cash prizes on the West Coast. No tea, no shade, no competition. Over $6,000, 3 years and counting. Categories include mini grand prize, $500, open to all, runway, $500, open to all, realness, $500, open to all, best dress, $1,000, open to all, face, color, you understand it, and 8 other $100 categories. Grand prize number one, $1,500, open to all, Vogue. Grand prize number two, $1,500, open to all, sex virus. Get ready, ready, ready. T2T, Tempted to Touch presents Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous Ball.
We don't care what people say, we know the truth. and welcome to the State of Emergency Show. I am your host, Jasmine Couture. Hello, chat room. Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in for episode 6 of the State of Emergency Show, where tonight we will be talking about balls. The issues of balls. Everything, it's going to be a continuation of what we talked about last week as far as some of the issues that we are facing at balls. Last week we really couldn't recap everything, you know, talk about everything, because the list just kept building and building and building. So tonight we are going to talk about issues from the judges panel, girlfriend panels, setups on the panel, fake voting, people afraid to vote how they truly feel and basically give you either sympathy votes or just kind of vote along with the process on how everyone else is voting. These are some of the things that we are going to talk about when it comes to panels. We're also going to talk about too many balls taking place at one time. Now there are so many balls happening that some of them are actually falling on the same weekend or even the same day, and it's causing a lot of chaos and a lot of uproar. And it's actually showing signs of greed where people seem like they're just doing it for the money and the power. So we are going to be talking about that as well. How do you pick your balls and why? You know, how do you choose all these balls that are happening each and every week? Is it based on the house? Is it based on the money, the grand prize? What are you doing to pick and choose your balls, and are you doing them wisely? And also we're going to talk about grand prize categories becoming a new source of income. Is that why we're having so many problems? Because people are running to these $1,000 categories and $2,000 categories or so. Is that a new source of income? Is that where all the chaos is coming from? Is that why people are doing what they're doing? And last but not least, we are going to talk about the Kiki scene and that being the top priority of balls right now for the younger generation. What is the difference between a kiki ball and a major ball? And why does it seem like the kiki balls are given without so much drama, so much hassle, and they're actually going full force, you know, without any problems? So we're going to be talking about balls tonight. If you guys are on the phone line, please press 1 if you want to tune in and be a part of the show. If you have any questions or feedback in reference to what's going on, I do have a panel of guests that will be sitting in with us tonight. Tonight's guests will be ranging from people in Detroit to Florida to New York, pretty much all over. And they will be sitting down with us, giving their feedback about falls that are happening in their area, and answering some of the questions or giving their opinions on some of the topics that are happening tonight. I'm waiting for some of my guests to tune in. Some people are running a little late. I think the warmer it gets outside, the worse it kind of gets as far as the radio show goes, because a lot of people aren't going to be tuning into the radio show when they're outside doing so many other things. But again, please press 1 if you're in the chat room. You can send your messages over. Hello again, chat room. Send your messages over to me or call in and tune in. I would love everyone's opinion. We also have a little bit of breaking news, and we're going to bring on our residential peace filler to break that news with us. So we will be bringing her on as well, Ms. London Bridge. Since Tuesday night, Vogue night, Tuesday seems to be the little hot commodity thing that's going on nowadays. A lot of drama is happening at Vogue Night Tuesday. And it's really happening full force, from the fighting to people actually being called out legendary, and a lot of people weren't aware of it. So we're going to get some tea on that as well. So make sure you guys tune in for that. That should be happening shortly after we bring on our panel. The first person I'm going to bring on is one of our original cast members for Wednesday night. He has been sitting with us. Well, he's not really a cast member, because if I say that, he's going to want an intro. But one of our panelists that has been with us since the beginning of the State of Emergency show, who also has a big ball coming up in the Detroit area, the overseer, TJ Mizrahi. You're on the air.
What's going on, everybody?
Hi, TJ.
Hey, Jazzy.
How's it going?
I'm good, driving to the crib. And I'm glad you said intro, because I think it's about time for me to get an intro. I'm about to do Nicole and Divine.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Even though I already told you the song I want already, you know, but... I'm just saying.
Why do you want an intro, PJ?
I don't know. Just to have one. It's not that big a deal, though. Just because everybody else got one.
Okay, I'm going to give you... I'm going to make an intro for you, TJ. That'll make it fast. So how's everything coming on for your ball?
Everything is coming along. Of course, you know, throwing a ball is a headache, especially once you get into the last 2 weeks into it. Everything is like 100% crunch time, double-checking everything, make sure everything is ready to go. It's like a headache. Every day I'm getting up, I'm getting flooded with phone calls about the categories. And some of the phone calls I think are stupid phone calls, but nevertheless, I'm glad they're asking before they get to the ball.
Okay. Well,
I just can't wait for April 7th to get here.
Are you going to Las Vegas this weekend?
Unfortunately, I'm not. I want to so badly, but it's just not in my budget, especially with me having to put all this money aside for this ball. Everything is just not functioning for me to go right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
If I would have went, they might be saying I wouldn't have had the money to pay my grand prize or something, so.
Okay. Well, we should be Divine should be calling in sometime tonight as well. For the people who are going to Vegas this weekend, hopefully Divine will get a chance to call in tonight and go over her categories with you as far as any last-minute questions, as far as travel goes, maybe the host hotel or things of that sort. So make sure you guys are tuning in tonight if you have any questions in reference to the Vegas ball this weekend. I'm also waiting for RR. I don't know if he's calling from another number or not. So RR, because I do see a number, but I don't know if that's you. Press one and press one again if that's you, so I know. But I'm waiting for RR. But
it would be nice if the CEO was the sponsor of our Vegas trip, though.
It would be nice to see what?
If the CEO sponsored our Vegas trip.
Wow, there's a lot of CEOs out there, so I don't know which one you're talking about. But anyway, we're going to bring on another person that is from the Detroit area who has been tuning into the show for a while now, and she has a lot to say about, you know, very opinionated when it comes to the balls. She's been in the ballroom scene for pretty much a very, very long time, and has really kind of balanced out, you know, leaving the ballroom scene alone to focus on herself. And as well as coming back and still tuning in to current events and stuff that are happening with the ballroom scene, I'm going to bring in a very special guest from the Detroit area. Her name is Ayana. Hello, Ayana. How are you? I'm sorry,
hey,
Ivana. Is it Ivana or Ayana?
Ayana.
Ivana. How are you, Ivana?
Good. How are you,
guys? What's going on, Ivana?
Oh, what's this?
Nothing. Chillaxing.
So, Ivana, how long have you been listening to the show, and what are some of the, you know, things that you've witnessed when it comes to the show, and what would be some of the things that you would like to see changed before we get into some of the topics?
I've listened to the show, definitely the State of Emergency since it started. I listen to Kelly every Monday. Some of the things I want to see changed is, of course, the volume of balls, the politics kind of, there's not, the politics never going to leave, but just simmer down maybe a little bit. The greed of balls, make it, I want it should be fun again, not just we try to, you know, pay the rent, so we try to hurry up and walk a ball to pay the rent. That's kind of crummish to me. Yeah, very much so. But I just think that, you know, and just the violence, even though the violence has toned down a lot, definitely since when I first came out in Detroit when we were fighting like crazy, that needs to be the violence as well.
Okay. Well, another special guest that we are bringing on tonight is someone, one of the strong female figures from down in the south parts of Miami. We all know that Miami does have a ballroom scene, but a lot of you girls do not like to visit Miami when it comes to the balls. And what is the reason for that? Is it because it's not as hot? Is it, you know, the drama that you guys have heard down there? I would love if more people came to the Florida area because Florida is actually a very beautiful place. But we're going to bring on one of our residential Floridians. Well, she's not a Floridian because she is from the Philly area, but I don't know how long she's been down there in Miami. But I'm going to bring on the Lady Jasmine Blahnik. How are you, Jasmine?
Hey, Jasmine, how are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you for tuning in with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Jasmine, how long have you been down in Miami?
I moved down in, well, I'm actually in the Broward area, which Miami is actually the Dade area, which is a little bit right before you get to Miami. I've been here since 2005.
Okay. So you've been here for a minute. And have you
noticed
a big difference from, you know, the balls up north and the balls down in Miami?
Yes.
Okay.
Not something, it's not extreme, but, you know, it is a difference.
But it's something that needs to be worked on, huh?
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, before we get to the topic about balls tonight, we are going to bring on our special residential peace filler herself, the one and only. Where is her intro at?
London, come on right now.
We're going to bring on our special tea filler herself to tune in as far as giving us a recap of what took place last night at Miss Vogue Night.
I'm coming every time you come around my London Bridge, wanna go down like
working Vogue. You have to Vogue like a lady. Let me show you. Cut. Pussy.
Matty, you're supposed to Vogue like a lady. Stay in one spot.
Cut. Pussy.
Oh no, it's a chop. Box the chambers for you.
Hi, London.
Hello, finally I'm here.
I know, we got you finally on the State of Emergency show. It took 6 episodes.
I know, I'm so bloody sorry. Hello, all.
What up, London?
Hello,
so
I'm
London.
Lovely. So,
I'm bringing you on tonight just to not really give us a recap, but basically to give us some of the drama that took place last night, because I think some of that does fall into our category of as far as being a state of emergency. So can you give us a little rundown of some of the drama that did take place last night at the little Vogue night?
Okay. from what I do know, female figure Yanni Ebony was called out for LSS. Then she went to Kevin Jay-Z, who was commentating, and asked him to call out Violet Iwizu. I guess that's her rival. He called Violet out. Violet came out. Then Yanni started hurtling over her, hitting and kicking her. Violet still paid it. Towards the end of the battle, I think Kwanis Mizrahi and Treasure Khan both stormed at the same time. Treasure stormed Yanni, and Kwanis stormed Violet. So when Yanni got up from her dip, she went to Treasure, and they argued, and they threw a little blow, and that was about it. Ken Allure got called out as Legend for LSS.
Wow. Okay. So pretty much there was a little scrap. Were the people kicked out of the ball, or you're not really sure what happened with the people that were fighting?
No, I don't. I think everything just basically calmed down. They were still there during the performance that Tyra Sanchez did from RuPaul's Drag Race. So they were still there. They never got kicked out.
Okay. So it wasn't really a major thing. It was kind of squashed at the venue.
Yeah, it was quickly squashed, yeah.
Okay. Well, kudos to whoever squashed it, because that's what needs to be taking place. And as far as Ken being called out Legendary, I'm not too sure if, you know, where that's coming from, if it's true or not. But I guess if you guys are on the line and you know more about that, you may want to tune in and, you know, give us some feedback about that. I will say that there are some changes coming up. You guys need to stay tuned for that, because there's going to definitely be some changes as far as the status goes. And it will be some information available very, very soon. Did you have anything else you wanted to say as far as that goes, as far as last night goes, London?
No, that was basically it. RuPaul's Drag Race star, she came out and performed, and the ball went on, the little, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. Well, London, I'm going to keep you right there, and I want you to press 1 if you want to tune in for tonight's topic, or if you have any more information that comes your way. And we'll just be back with you shortly, okay?
Lovely, thank you.
Thank you for calling in. All right, guys, so pretty much what we are going to talk about is some of the topics that are happening right now. Some of the issues that are happening as far as the judges' panels go and things of that sort. Before we start getting heavy on the topic, I do have some callers that have already pressed 1. I'm not sure if there's any of them are our special guests for tonight, so I'm just going to go in and bring them on really quickly. The first number is 803-795. You're on the air. 803-795, you're on the air. Okay. The next caller is 718-304. You're on the air.
Hello, Jasmine. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. If you remember, I called in last night, Jasmine, and I just wanted to say that what I said to RR, I wasn't attacking him or nothing like that. It's just that it was an opinion that I had, and I felt very strongly about it. I wasn't upset or nothing like that. So when you said that, you know, you don't want callers to call in and attack your cast or whatever, that wasn't my purpose. I think it was because I was holding it in, and the waiting time to, you know, to try to say what I needed to say at that moment or whatever. So I wasn't, you know, attacking him. And I want to apologize to him if he's listening or whatever, you know, just to let him know that, you know, I don't apologize for what I said, but I apologize if I made you feel like I was attacking you, RR. That really wasn't my intentions. I am a supporter of the show, and, you know, I sort of felt some kind of way when, you know, people said that I was attacking him or I was upset or whatever. So I wanted to call in and say that, and I really do apologize. You know, sometimes I can get kind of hype or whatever when I want to express certain things, but I was not attacking him at all.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to keep you right there, but I do want to say thank you for calling in and explaining yourself. RR has not gotten on the line yet. I'm not sure where he's at. But when he does come on, I will go back to you, and then you guys can definitely speak about, you know, what did take place last night. But I want to say thank you. But let me get to some of the other callers really quickly. 708-821, you're on the air. 708-821, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This is Prince Leroy Avant-Garde from Chicago.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine.
I had a little bit of something to say about how things are, like, worse with Chicago.
And what are you talking about? Are you talking about balls themselves or things of that, you know, sort?
Yes.
Okay. Well, tell me a little bit about what's happening in Chicago.
Chicago has gotten a little bit too political as far as the judges panel is concerned.
Okay. And that's what we're going to talk about, the judges panel. What are some of your issues that you have seen when it comes to the judges panel? Give us a couple of examples.
I would say people are getting picked over. There are, like, people who are getting ATM legendary status a little bit quicker than normal people would. And I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I don't think that's right either, and that's what tonight's show is going to be about. So we're going to put you on hold, and we want you to tune in and listen to what we have to say about some of that stuff. Before we get into that topic, we're going to take one more caller, 347-533. You are on the air.
Are you for real? Hey, Jasmine, it's RR.
This is a new number.
No, it's the same number.
That's not the number that I have.
It's the same number. It's okay, though. How's everybody doing?
Hey, RR.
What's going on, RR?
Hey, I heard what you said, and I didn't take it offensively because I understood where you were coming from, and I took it more as you were talking in terms of safety more so than being shady. So I took heed to what you were really saying, but at the time that you and I both were getting a little bit boisterous with our pitch, it may have sounded like we were agreeing to disagree on another level. But I accept your apology, and I apologize to you if I offended you in any way as a caller, because that's not the premise of the show. We always want to make sure that the callers are not disrespected and that the co-hosts who are on the show at that particular time aren't disrespected, because that's the problem with the ballroom scene today. There's no respect, and we're trying to bring respect back to individuals one at a time, because we can't do it in the massive, so we have to take it and do it one at a time. And thank you for calling back in tonight, and I really appreciate it. And I hope one day we can sit down to a glass of orange juice.
Orange juice? Did you say orange juice?
You know I don't drink.
Okay. All right. Now that we have everyone here, let's talk about some of the issues that are happening with the balls. First thing we're going to talk about is the judges panel. The fact that I have Jasmine on the line from Miami, in the Miami area, TJ, Lana, and RR, I want to talk about some of the things that you guys witnessed on the judges panel or some of the things that you guys have may have fallen victim to. Some of them may be, you know, things that you agree with and you don't, you know, you disagree with. But I want to hear what you guys have to say about it. And before we go any further, I was told to make a quote of the day or of the evening. So I'm going to make a quote really quickly. The quote is, bitches be scared. And I want you guys to remember that bitches be scared. And what does that mean? Why are bitches being scared? Are they scared to call into the show? They're scared to voice their opinion. They're scared to comment on a like on Facebook. They're afraid to show their true feelings because they don't want anyone else to criticize them or attack them. And that was sent over to me, and I was given so many examples of why bitches be scared. And some of that does fall into tonight's topic as well when it comes to judging. Why are you afraid to vote how you truly feel? Is it that you're really afraid? Is it that you don't want to get caught up in a political rapture? Is it because you don't want to cause drama within your house? Is it because you're sitting next to your girlfriend and you have to vote among the way the panel is going, or you don't want to cause any problems with your girlfriend? So that's something I want you to keep in mind as well with the whole quote of bitches be scared. I can use many examples, prime examples. Certain people were supposed to be on the show tonight, and at the very end they pulled out because someone told them don't do it, or they got scared, or things of that sort, which I don't agree with. And one thing I am going to say, because I know people are listening, keep in mind that I run this show, and it's not going to be when you want to come on or you feel it's necessary to benefit you. If you cannot do anything as far as this show goes to benefit other people, as far as voicing your opinion, suggestions, and helping the ballroom scene change, then we'll just make it completely where you just can never come on, because everyone knows I'm not afraid to tell people, do not come on, do not come, I don't want you to be bothered. So keep that in mind as well. But as far as the judges panel goes, RR, you've been in the ballroom scene for a while, and you've witnessed different type of systems when it came to the balls. As far as judges go, there used to be a format how it was done before compared to how it is done now. A lot of people feel that if you have too many people on the panel, it's an issue. Some people feel if you have less than many people on the panel, it can be an issue. I want to start off with some of the people from the top to the bottom and tell us some of the experiences that you have witnessed or been a part of when it came time to judging. And, you know, what do you feel some of the issues that need to be addressed are? I'm going to start off with Jasmine. Tell us a little bit about some of the panel issues down there in Miami.
For as far as the panel issues, I personally don't really have an issue with the panel set up down here. The people who have issues with the panel are a lot of the House members. They feel like the panel is not always fair. I don't know if it's because predominantly most of the time it's the same people. A lot of them feel as though when certain people come from out of town, there may be favoritism towards those people because they are out-of-towners or whatever. Me personally, like I said, I don't have an issue with the panel. I don't think panels are set up a certain way for things to happen, at least not to my knowledge. I just think that sometimes that's just the way that the panel falls. And my thing is that a lot of people tend to forget that judging is about your individual opinion. I was asked to sit here because the person wanted me to give my opinion on what I see. And people want to get upset because they don't agree with your opinion, but that's what it is. I mean, you shouldn't want people who's going to sit there that's going to go along with what the crowd is saying or what your girlfriend is saying, you know. And I think that once people realize that, you know, the panels would be a lot better off.
Okay. Varna, what do you feel about panels and things that you have witnessed?
Like, I'm going to piggyback a lot off what Jackson said. Personally, I've never been through the shady tactics myself, but it's a lot of girlfriendly kind of things. Like you said earlier, you know, I'm sitting next to my sister and her child walking, so, you know, she's trying to nudge me to, you know, give it to her. You know, it's just a lot of politics, a lot of the same people being on the panel over and over and over again. A lot of people feel like because they're on the panel that they have power to do what they want to do and rule how they want to rule because they're not on the wood, they're actually on the panel. So it makes a big difference for them. It's kind of chaotic because if too many people on the panel, it becomes a ruckus. If there's not enough people, then people have something to say. It seems like when it comes to a judge's panel, you can't win for losing. Someone's always going to be upset. Someone's always going to be happy. And so it's nothing that I think you can do different because someone's always going to have a negative opinion about the judge's panel.
Okay.
Exactly.
TJ, what is your feel about the panels?
I agree with the main statement, bitches be scared. You have certain people get up there, and they'll say, oh, my God, let's just say if R.R. is on the panel, they know he's a Chanel, and they have their house key walking. And if they don't see a Chanel who is that category, they don't want to chop because they're scared R.R. is going to come back and chop their house key. Or either they're going to get checked on the panel and bitched out on the panel or something. They be scared to vote. Then you got the shady panels where it's like, okay, well, child, this girl's from Atlanta. We want to keep the money and the trophy and stuff in Atlanta, so we're going to vote Atlanta. Or you have the people who sit up there and just don't know what they're doing, so they just, okay, whatever this person votes, they're going to vote for it too.
Okay. And R.R.?
Well, what I was going to say is that I was trying to figure out at one point why they have so many judges on the panel from when, you know, the Bulls first evolved. But then I have to realize when the Bulls first evolved, there weren't that many houses in the ballroom scene. And at that time, they were putting, you know, at least one person from each house on the panel. Now that we have a, you know, larger selection of houses, state to state, you know, you want to accommodate every house that's walking or participating in the ball so that it can be fair judging. What I find happens most of the time is that the judges don't have a protocol. And a protocol, what I'm saying is, if you say that your child is walking and you're on that panel to support the person in your house that's walking and that person gets to the at the beginning, they walk out and they do what they have to do, and you score them. At that point, you're giving them your 10, and they make it to the battle zone, and no one else has chopped them, but you gave them your 10. At that point, I feel you've done your job as a house member and as a judge for that particular individual. Now you have to become a professional judge when it's time for the battle zone. And when I say that, I say it with all due respect because you may have your house member, and I may have my house member, and they may be walking for, let's say, runway, and the runway category is runway in all black with a wicked effect. And then when you're looking at them both together, although you may have given your child that 10 to the battle zone, when you look at your child and you see that your child has on white gloves and white socks, and that other person has on black gloves, black socks, black shoes, black everything, are you going to vote still for your child when it's down to those two? That's where the discrepancy comes in, because then you have to, you know, really say, okay, I have to be fair here. It's right in front of me. And a lot of times judges will have it right in front of them, and they will still, what's that slogan you said, bitch up?
And bitches get scared.
Yeah, they will get scared, and they'll just keep it on their house member. because they don't want the flack of the members of their house when the ball is over or when they go back to the next house meeting, or they don't want the child to leave the house, or they don't want the child to feel like they didn't really see it. They don't want the child to feel any kind of way of embarrassment. So it's a two-edged sword. You can look at it like that, or you can look at it as a teaching lesson and tell that person later on why you chopped them. And when they look at the DVD later on, they can see it for themselves, and they won't have any reason to be upset with you. And I think that's where the problem lies. People aren't telling the truth. And that's
okay.
Just my opinion.
I agree. Okay. One second, I'm getting messages and feedback about everything that you guys are talking about. One thing that I will say as far as using examples when it comes to some of the balls is I have witnessed, even I'll use the example when it comes to my $5,000 collection. Hold on a second, I'm getting a lot of shit. So if you guys are hitting me up right now, give me a second. But I want to get their opinion on what I'm about to say, and then I'll go to your guys, you know, you guys hitting me up. One thing that I have witnessed when it comes to some of the big, you know, grand prizes, like when it comes to, like, some of my $5,000 balls and things of that sort, is I'll have a panel of, you know, 7, 9, 11 people up there. And a person will go, you know, if you guys know, a lot of my $5,000 categories have consisted of people bringing productions and stuff. And I will sit here and notice that a lot of the judges will sit there and look at these people and will see the productions falling apart, going all over the place. They'll be sucking their teeth, twiddling their thumbs, looking to the left, looking to the right, kind of over it, and you can tell right off the bat that they just do not see what this person is doing. And they wait until the person is completely done. Then when it comes time for the judges and the commentators asking the individuals, okay, is it 10? Is it 10? Some of the judges will sit there and just keep looking and take forever to vote. Or they will just wait for the next person to do the chop because they don't want to chop. And they will just sit there, and then by the time you really get to them, they will sit there and say, and then finally raise their 10. And I want to know why this happens. And it's not just for, you know, my large grand prizes, because it's happened in so many other balls. They will just sit there and just look, and they will take, like, their stuff, and they will still get their 10. And yet, the person that is walking, people that are in the audience, are looking at these judges and noticing that they do not see it, and they still give the 10. And then when you ask them afterwards, why did you do that, or why didn't you chop when you know you didn't see it, they'll say, ain't nobody else chop. Do you guys agree with that? How do you guys feel about that? Do you guys feel it should be that way? And RR, we lost you, so he should be coming back on. But have you guys ever witnessed stuff like that? I'm going to start with you, Jasmine.
Yes, I have, and I've also witnessed it go the other way, where they sit there and they'll wait forever, and then they'll chop the person. If you see someone come, but then I also think it's also really shady that, which I've heard happen at a couple of balls not too long ago, where the person was doing a production and they didn't give the person a chance to finish doing, which was probably the highlight of the production, and they chopped them. You know, I think that, to me, all of it is on the fact that the ballroom scene was built on shade. And I think that a lot of people in the scene, they feel fabulous about being shady, about being nasty. I mean, there's an award that goes out in every state, every region, for that shadiest person. And there's not an award that goes out for people being nice or the most humble person or the nicest person. There's an award for you being a nasty, shady person. And there's people who sit on the panel who do have that type of air about them, and they wear it proudly, you know,
okay.
And that all comes part of, you know, that territory. But, you know, I don't think that's something that's relatively new, because it's been like that for a long time. From when I was walking in the 90s, it's always been that way. But it's just gotten 10 times worse, because there's 10 times more shady people than it was then. But, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
Okay, Vonna, what do you feel about all that?
Jeff was speaking, I was looking at the chat room, and a lot of things they're saying is true, and I feel the same way. You know, sometimes most judges are not paying attention. They're high. They're bored. They are scared to chat because they don't want, again, the repercussions. They sit up there, and you let a girl finish, and you sit up there like, I really want to chat this bitch. This bitch is really late. And then, you know, her girlfriend is off to the side screaming and beating on the table, and all her sons are on the other side beating on the floor. And then, you know, some girls get nervous and bitch up. You know, so you just, but it's like she said, it's not new. It's something that people have been happening repetitively over and over and over again. So it's not really a shock. I mean, is it late? Yes. I mean, if you're up there to pay attention, pay attention. If you don't see the bitch, chop the bitch. I mean, now, when she said something about the production, it might be in the highlight. True to the fact that the production, you might have not let you get to the highlight point, but I'm not going to let you get to the highlight point if you didn't wow me from the beginning. Don't wow me at the end when it's time for you to pump off. You know, wow me all the way through. Or if not, then you won't get to your highlight. I don't give a fuck about the end of your highlight. But most people just be extremely high, extremely drunk, and extremely girlfriendy. We have to do, you know, the girls up there texting, the girls up there talking, they're trying to record the ball themselves on YouTube, on their phone. You know, they're doing a whole bunch of stuff real fast, and they're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not chatting because, again, their girlfriends are on the panel.
Okay. TJ, really quickly, because I have two special guests that are tuning in right now. TK, what is your opinion on that, really quickly?
I agree with everything Vonna said. I truly believe that's it. And then you got the ones, like I said, who's scared if they chop, that when their house member walks, the person that they chop is going to retaliate and chop their house member. It's basically a lot of people are really scared of what's going on. The judges are actually more intimidated than the people walking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A couple of people really quickly. I'm bringing on Tony Malone. You're on the air.
Hello, Jasmine. Hello, everyone.
Hey,
Tony. Thank you for tuning in. Sorry, I did not tune in for the Wednesday show. I always tune in. But I'm going to say something about a real, true, legendary icon set, because I'm going to protect something that I've even won this award before, and I'm going to protect it. There's a very big difference between being shady and being fierce.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely two different things. Now, being fierce is just laying the girls out, always got something negative to say when you go to a ball, always chopping girls and turning your back on them if they ask you why you don't want to give them. That's being fierce. Shady is relative. It depends on what you consider to be shady. You know what I'm saying? But people talk honest to you, then they're being shady. But if they lie to you, they're your best girlfriend. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, you're all talking about chopping your own house member. Very few people have done that. Nobody does it at every function. Because somebody does it once a year doesn't mean that they'll chop their house. That's crazy. Why would you vote somebody in your house you're going to turn around and chop all the time? You might as well put them out your house.
Right.
And, yes, we're all going to pick our house member. They should at least get one vote up there. That's why you have more than one judge. If you got 13 judges and only one person gave them the score, why are you looking at the one person that gave them the vote? That makes no sense to me.
Okay, Tony, can I ask you a question, please, real fast? Now, say, for instance, let's break it down. Let's not even pay the one vote. Let's break it down and say that it's 4-4. And you sit up on the panel, and you know for a fact in your heart of hearts that your house member is not better than the bitch, you know, to the left. What do you do?
Here's my question to you. Why did they make it to 4-4? I'm just saying to you, I'm asking you, this has happened before, and this has always been my argument with people. How did it make it to 4-4? So if I vote for my House member, that means that four other people agreed with me.
Right. So I'm just asking, what would you do personally?
Oh, no, I'm going to pick my House member. I'm going to keep it real with you. I'm going to keep it straight funky.
Yeah,
I'm picking my House member. No, no, I'm not being mean towards you. This
right,
is just...
right, I understand. Yeah, that's what I understand.
All right, let me bring up Rodney, the overall father of the House of Prodigy. You are on the air.
Good evening, everybody. How y'all doing?
Hi, Rodney. What's up, son?
Nothing much. I just want to, you know, chime in a little bit on that because I am probably one of the most controversial people when it comes to the judges panel or being there. Either I'm accused of intimidating the judges when I'm not on the judges panel, or I'm accused of making the judges vote for my House when I am on the panel, so I can't win. But in my eyes, I think if you, everybody always says it's the same judges on the panel, because the people, the promoters who are throwing the ball, see that those individuals have their own mindset and they are strong enough and willing enough to pick who they think is the best candidate walking. Now,
right.
I will say this. In every region, every ball, and every place, there has been girlfriends. There have been, you know, everybody on the phone has been the recipient of a girlfriend vote, period. Is that simple. We all have. So I hate when the people get on the phone when it's your turn to lose a battle. It was a girlfriend panel, but when you won the battle, it wasn't a girlfriend panel. Come on now. Be
right.
Serious.
That's
right. I agree with you. And to add to what Rodney said, I want to ask a question. This is the ballroom scene, and that's what we're talking about. So let's get realistic. Let's get into real life. And I always say ballroom is real life, but sometimes people, they get it misconstrued. You can't even get the Senate of the United States of America to do correct. You think you're going to get a ballroom bunch of queens to do correct? Come on. This is not possible. Unfairness is something that's going to happen in this world till it ends. Now, the bottom line is that some days it's going to be fair to you, some days it's going to be unfair to you, and some days you're going to be on either side of the unfair stick.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? It's life. And it either is going to make you a weak person who's going to complain all damn day long, or it's going to make you a stronger person and come stronger the next time. One or the other.
So now that you guys both said that, I want to ask this to Rodney and Tony really quickly. One of the reasons why we are doing a state of emergency show is because a lot of people feel that the ballroom is lacking, and it either causes people to step away from the ball. They don't want to participate no more. They have given up. They point the fingers and blame everyone and stuff. And that's pretty much what this is really all about. So what would you guys say, just by based on what you just said, Tony, what would you guys say when it comes to, you know, real life? Like you said, this is happening in the real world. It's just always going to be happening. So you suggest to them, okay, just bite the bullet, get over it, and don't give up, still participate? Or what would you say to the people that are using this topic as an example of, this is why I don't participate no more, this is why I don't want to walk no more, because these are the things that are happening? What would you say to them?
You want to go first, Rodney, or what?
No, go ahead.
This is what I want to say. I want to kind of give a little bit of scenarios here. Why is it the people that's winning balls don't say that?
Oh, my God. You took me.
I'm lost at that. I'm always so lost at that. It's always the one. Everybody in the ballroom scene, from star, statement, legend to icon, has lost the ball. But guess how they all make it to the next level? They stay there. They fight it out. They take their blow. That's what experience is all about. Everything in life is political. At work it's political. In school it's political. In college it's political. Everything is political. The thing is, the bottom line is that everybody's going to have to become, guess what, in some shape, form, or fashion, political. It is what it is. Now, people not going to balls, I think I just told you why. The balls are not the same. The balls are not the same because they're not winning. That's why they're not the same. And what's wrong, I would say one last thing, and I know this is going to sound shady, and maybe some people think it is, but let's be realistic. Right about now, these kids these young men and women that are coming through the ballroom scene, this is the crack generation, grown. And they weren't raised the same way we were raised, mothers and fathers. They was off doing their thing, and grandma was raising them. So you have to treat them a little bit differently, come at them a little bit differently than you did when it was with us. You could talk to us with your fingers in our face, and we would get scared and listen to what you had to say. That ain't working no more. You put your fingers in their face, you might not have your fingers no more.
That's so true.
I agree.
That's true.
Rodney, did you
want to
say anything about that?
Yeah, I agree with Tony. It's like a new loser's anthem they come up with because they don't, you know, they don't win or they feel a little shade because, you know what I'm saying, but it's life. Like I've heard this a lot. I've heard them say, oh, they threw me shade. Just say, okay, we live in Atlanta. I live in D.C. Someone lives in Florida. I go to Florida, I see someone, they're of the year, they're eating it up, they're tearing it up in Florida. But when I come down there, to me, it looks lackluster, so I chop them. Oh, it was shade, he's of the year, but to me, you look virgin.
Uh-huh.
Or when I go to, you know, another region, I hear that all the time, he throwing shade because, no, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. I'm judging everybody across the board the same way. I don't go to Ohio and judge you because you're in Ohio. I don't think you can compete with people from New York or D.C. or Philly. I'm judging you as if you are on the same level with all those people. When you come to New York, you should be able to battle the same way. When you go to Atlanta, when you come to D.C. and Philly, you battle the same way, whether you're from L.A. or Vegas or Chicago or Cincinnati. If you're talented,
you brought that up, Rodney, that is definitely, and I'm so glad you said that, because I want to ask Jasmine something about that.
Yeah.
That is something we hear all the time. We hear that all the time when it comes to Florida. What is your opinion on that?
Right. To piggyback on what Rodney said, he hit it so on the nose when he said that, because I'm going to take it back a little further than when the first ball I attended here was probably in 2004. It was a ball that Delano, at the time, he was Milan, Delano Milan gave. And I was sitting on the panel next to, I wasn't on the panel, I was just sitting next to them. It was two legendary, iconic people, I'm not going to say who, but when I was sitting next to them and there was people walking, I kept hearing them say, oh, girl, just give it to her, this is Florida, whatever. And I said to them, I said, well, you know, you can't do that. You should let them know the reason why you're chopping them, and then at least Florida will get their act together and bring things more accordingly. This person came out the best dressed with a rented tux, ace bandages wrapped around his hand, a pair of stripper heels on, and a walking cane, and a ninja mask. And the crowd was going up, and they wanted to give that person a 10. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I know some of the people on the sideline heard me, was kind of giving me these looks, but to me, just letting them slide by like that really is not the way for people to progress and get things together. Like, a lot of times on a panel here, and they get mad at me, when I chop a person, I always want to tell them why, and they want to rush, and, oh, no, Jasmine, you can't do that. I do think you should let people know so the next time they come, they bring it better the next time. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that it is only fair.
Okay. Marquise Prodigy, you are on the air. I'm sorry I got caught up with Rodney. And Tony, are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I wanted to say something to about what Jasmine said, but you can go ahead to Marquise.
Go ahead, no, you can speak. Go ahead, Marquise is on the line.
I was just going to say to Jasmine, that was probably the incident. I mean, that probably was the fact back in 2004, But I don't think any judge would do that now with YouTube, because any category that you want to become an expert in, you're going to follow that category. So you know what Best Dressed is given now. You know what Vogue Femme is given. You know all this stuff. People know who people are. So I think Nadine told me, she said YouTube is everybody's, what did she say? She said it's like everybody's, YouTube has made so many stars. So I don't see what the problem is. You type in ball, Best Dressed, boom, you there. However they do it, you there. You follow them. You see somebody you like, you follow them. You see,
right, they have progressed. They have progressed greatly down here to me. But when he says that, that just took me back to that part. And then even still now, even today, when people do come out, you know, it's not easy for me to just be cutthroat with people. So, you know, I tend to want to let a person know the reason why I'm chopping them or whatever. But Florida has improved beyond leaps and bounds down here. I mean, they have some of the best voguers, the best walkers, you know, and it really, really has. But I just took it back because it just took me back to a moment when Florida probably hadn't gotten there yet. And actually, YouTube wasn't that hot at that time, neither.
Right, true.
Well, let me, Marquis, did you have anything you wanted to touch upon really quickly before we started taking a couple of callers?
Yeah, I wanted to touch up on something that RR said. I don't know if he's on the phone now when he made the comment.
RR, I don't know where he's at. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, the comment about when he said, like, if, you know, a person is walking a category and they have on all blue, and I guess the category is called for all red, or somebody who has on all red, then the person that got the stuff on wrong, the house member picked the other person. And it's something like last week when we were talking about a house member voting over their child. Basically, that's what he said. And I wanted to touch on that because I wanted to know after they get tens, when do we judge the category for the category, as in face? When do we start judging just the face, or when do we just start judging the realness? And I feel like if you're able to pick over me and I'm in your house, that means you see somebody else's realness or face over mine, so why you don't have them in your house instead of me?
That's what I said.
Okay.
Rodney,
I have a question from the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know, how the fuck did that guy get through for Best Dressed in Chicago, the one that had the white on with the iron box?
I don't know. This was in the first half. I probably wasn't paying attention. I didn't judge the first half.
Okay. So he said he didn't judge the first half, so we don't know.
Right.
We're going to go to a call at 312-804. You're on the air.
This is Milan, overall Father Blahnik. I was just supporting that. So just listening.
Thank you, Milan. Thank you for tuning in. If
you
want to say anything, just press 1.
Hi,
and everybody say hi to Milan.
Hello.
Hi.
Also, I have another thing. My question is, why not choose judges that are not in the ballroom so it would make the balls fair and not a panel of girlfriends that are in the ballroom? What do you guys feel about that?
Nobody would be there.
What do they know if they're not in the ballroom or they don't even participate? What are they looking for?
Wait a minute. That's such an excellent. Go ahead.
Let me do it this way, because I don't like people getting caught up in the talk. Jasmine, what do you feel about that? Do you ever get caught up in that whole judges panel of people's brothers, sisters, mothers, you know, celebrities and stuff? Do you feel that they are qualified to judge us on the runway?
You mean their biological mothers and fathers? I mean, sisters and all that?
Yeah, anyone, you know, basically people that are not involved in
things. No, but I think certain categories, yes, because when it comes to realness, I mean, if a girl looks like a man, anybody can see she looks like a man. If a butch queen's walking butch queen realness, I believe anybody can say whether the person looks real or not. Me personally, I believe people who are not in the ballroom scene can judge realness better than a lot of people who are. I've seen many girls win realness and go outside and get clogged. I've seen butch queens who walk things like when it comes to schoolboy and stuff like that. But as far as things like runway, performance, even sometimes with the fashion categories, no, I think ballroom scene people are a much, much better judge of that. But then you're not going to sit there and break up the panel and say, okay, now parents can sit there, but for these categories they have to get up. So on an all-in-all basis, I would say no, they shouldn't be sitting there.
Okay, Lana, what do you feel about it?
I just don't. It's different if you're asking a person who takes the ball a lot to judge, because they might know, because those people tend to be a little bit more in depth and like the category and tend to really, really live, even though they don't want to walk. But to have somebody like, you know, Auntie Shirley, you know, they just come up there and judge. Like, Auntie Shirley don't even know what's going on. Like, she just here because you asked her to come. Like, why? I mean, I'm about to sit up there and try to perform for Auntie Shirley, and Auntie Shirley just, like, begs, so she just keep raising her finger at everybody. Like, if you should know what you're judging. We already have a problem with the people inside of the ballroom thing not knowing what they're judging.
Right. Mm-hmm. Rodney, your opinion on
that? I'm on the fence a little bit, but I think ballroom people are more reliable to judge. Are more credible to judge, feel like that, I'll say that. But every once in a while, I think a ball should maybe, because it always, like Tony said earlier, it's always the 4-4, and then you got the girlfriend panel to break the tie, or you voted for your house member. If you had Auntie Shirley on that end and nobody knew Auntie Shirley, then most of the time she would be somebody's girlfriend.
Right.
You had Auntie Shirley on that last vote, so nobody can say, oh, Rodney was Shay. He didn't vote for me, but it was 4-4. So four people voted for them already over you. But if Auntie Shirley was there to break that tie, they couldn't say who's Shady. Auntie Shirley was Shady, but she don't know you.
They're gonna whoop Auntie Shirley with them all.
So we try something different every once in a while to see, just to appease to the ballroom scene. They can see that if Auntie Shirley is there or if Rodney Prodigy is there, it's still the same result.
Right.
If Auntie Shirley is Rodney's Auntie Shirley.
Because they might come up on Auntie Shirley, but they're not going to come up on me.
Marquise, what do you feel about being judged by people that may not be your everyday ball walkers or house participants and stuff? How do you feel about that, being an active ball walker right now?
I don't know. It's like 50-50 with me, because I feel like if you explain something to a person and tell them what they're supposed to be looking for, then they might can give a fair opinion. Because a lot of, like, even with the realness, like, I feel like ballroom realness and real life realness is two different things. So they will probably give a better judgment of some categories. And some categories they might not really understand and, you know, be able to give a good judgment.
Okay. And Tony?
Well, no, hell no. Because we tried that already, and the girls turn around when they don't win. Oh, what the fuck do they know? They don't even walk balls. They don't have no right to even be on the panel. So either way, you damned if you do, and you damned if you don't. They just ask. It's already been done. A lot of these questions, these girls, you're not going to reinvent this wheel. The bottom line is that a lot of this stuff has been tried before. A lot of these problems that people keep saying, that form is so problematic now, no, it's not. It was always a lot of these problems before. It's just that none of us have found a complete solution. We're trying to, but we have not found a complete solution. But the first person you got to work on is yourselves. Everybody has to work on their own person. If everybody sat their ass in their seat,
when it's an argument going on, when it's a I won't go that far. When it's a fierce bold battle, everybody's sitting in their seat. Guess what? There wouldn't be no problem. I had somebody say to me the other day, I watched you in Paris is Burning. They said, but you know what I took from that? That I watched that during battles, people still sat in their seats. And when it was something like they stood up where they sat and clapped, they didn't storm the floor.
Uh-huh.
That's a – now, look, that ball was in 1980. That ball was in December of 86, was the final one. Between the December of 86 till now, look how it has manifested to foolishness.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask the question, Ganzo? I have, especially with you, Tony, because, you know, I really value and respect your opinion. One of the issues that I have with being on a panel is when it comes to the voguing part. That's the part where I'd be like, oh, Lord, here we go. Because back in the day, they would break up the category. Like, it was soft and cunt versus soft and cunt, dramatic versus dramatic. Now they will put everybody together. And me personally, I do have, I am a little more partial to soft and cunt because soft and cunt takes me back to the Danielle and Alyssa days and all those type of things. So if I see a girl out there and she's being soft and cut and just a lady. Because you have to remember, femme queen performance, even if it's butch queen vogue femme, you're supposed to be voguing like a girl, a lady, a woman. And here comes somebody and they're slamming themselves all over the place and the crowd is going crazy. And a lot of times I have given it to the soft and cut and they will be so upset because I give it to the soft and cunt because the dramatic girl is just leaping herself all over the soft and cunt girl. What is your take on that type of scenario? If you're sitting there and you're judging a soft and cunt and then there's a dramatic girl who may be voguing up to her par for the dramatic, but then there's the soft and cunt girl there too that's doing it at the top of her game and you're more partial to the soft and cunt.
Soft and cunt, period.
You gonna vote for the soft and cunt, period.
Damn right.
Okay,
I've always
agree.
Been like that.
Right.
And they can get mad till the cows come home. Guess what? They'll forget it tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
That's
that,
why you're
that
up there.
A,
you're
that
up there to judge.
Issue.
That's
right.
Another problem with judging. That's another
mm-hmm.
problem with this judges,
mm-hmm.
these judges panels. If
mm-hmm.
you scared somebody gonna punch you in the face, girl, don't get
don't
up there.
Judge.
Don't judge.
So you do know the quote. You do know the quote.
You do know the quote of the evening, right, Tony?
What's the quote? I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
About bitches being scared.
Bitches being scared.
Oh, I'm not scared. I give it to the soft and cunt girl every time. I'm just letting you know what I hear after I do so. It's always this big thing on Facebook the next day. Oh, that judge's panel was a fool. How to give it to her over her and so on.
And
they
you know
won't
what you say
names.
You know what you
but
say?
I know who they're
say,
talking
did you
about.
Win? No, what you're supposed to say to them, did you win? You must was the one that didn't win.
Right.
That's
but you know
it.
What?
I got
like was said mm-hmm. earlier, you know, it's our perception. When we sit up there, it's what you like. It's what draws your eye. It is your perception. If it's not something you like, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not about to sit up there mm-hmm. and judge based upon what y'all clapping about because I might not live for it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Her three sheets now might live, but I don't. So it's just about our perception.
Or when you
all
go
right,
to judge, tell me what you feel.
All right, go ahead, Tony.
I was just saying, when they win enough balls to start getting on judges' panels, let's see what happens to them. Everybody that used to talk shit that's on panels now be like, oh, God, I see what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't even want to do it.
Yeah, because it's hard. Now, if you guys are on the phone line, please press 1 if you want to touch up on tonight's topic. We are talking about judges' panel, but we are going to steer away from that in a few and start talking about a couple of other topics. So I do see you guys pressing 1. I also want to ask a question that is coming out of the chat room to Rodney and Tony, but I feel asking them the question is not really the two people that we should be asking because they have come to Florida and they do support the events in Florida, maybe not on a regular basis, but they have come down but maybe the question should be asked to different people and they can call in as well. But one of the questions that are coming in from the chat room is, what are the issues with Florida and why don't you support the ballroom scene in Florida like they do other states? Jasmine lives in Florida, so I'm not going to ask her. Bonna, Rodney, and Tony, as well as Marquise, because Marquise, you travel a lot. But what are some of the issues that you guys feel are with Florida and why you feel that you may not support it as much or other people don't support it? Maybe you come down and you're telling people, yeah, I'm going to go down to Florida for the weekend or whatever, and they're like, child, I ain't going down there. Like, you know, what are some of the issues? I'm going to start with Vonna. Have you ever been to a Florida ball?
No, and probably my main reason why I haven't is because I don't hear about them. Like, I don't know. Like, I know it's a ball in New York. I know it's a ball in Chicago. I know it's a ball in even Birmingham, Alabama. I just don't know about a ball in Florida. And I don't even know people that are actively, you know, participating like that in Florida. So I'm not going to sit there and pack my suitcase and my drag bag and come all the way down there just for something that might be a fool set.
Can I comment and say one thing to that? Hold on 1 second, Jasmine. So, Vonna, is it safe to say that a lot of people from Florida don't make it to Detroit to promote things that are happening down there?
Right.
And that's why you don't hear about it?
Yeah, because and then we know with the media network that we have now, you know what I'm saying, it's easy for you to post things. I'm in a lot of these groups, and I see a lot of this stuff, and it's stuff that I don't see. So I can't actively participate somewhere if I don't know that something's going on.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right, go ahead, Jasmine. What did you want to say really quick?
You know, she just made a really good point. What I was going to say is that I think a lot of people, and I say this because one of the things I do for a living, I do graphic design, and I do a lot of people's ball flyers. And one thing I have to say to them a lot of times is a lot of people rely on what they call e-flyers, these internet things. And everybody doesn't see that. And I always think, well, maybe you should print some out, because that's what we did back in the day. It wasn't no e-flyers. Everybody went along and they promoted. I remember when Alvernia would send each region a packet with all his flyers in them and say, could you pass these flyers out for me in your region if you go to the club that night or whatever. And people, they don't do that anymore. Everyone relies on the internet. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why it doesn't get out there to everybody like that.
Okay, Marquise, really quickly before I go to Rodney and Tony, who I know have supported Florida and continue to support Florida, but I want to hear their feedback. But Marquise, why haven't you made your way down to Florida?
Because I kind of look at it like a liner. Like I think of it like a music part. Like a music part is going to promote the attractions. Like the Florida ballroom scene, I really don't see them promoting the attractions. Like, it'd be like, what's the point of going all the way down there when just to waste all the money for a mini ball that I don't know nothing about? Or that then I got, like, Prince X Mizza, who's, you know, one of my brothers who are a schoolboy. Like, so now I really hear more about Florida. So, like, even I was talking to you, Jackson, I was like, you know, I might come in there one time because I have a person who's promoting it. They don't really promote themselves for anyone to come down.
Okay. And I will say this, while we took Tony and Rodney finish. Go ahead, Rodney.
Okay. Well, I've supported Florida a lot, obvious reasons now, but I was in Milan, and Milan has a big presence in Florida. So whenever I get the memo, you know, I pack my bags and go down there. But even at the latter part of Milan, because they were having major balls on Thursdays, and unfortunately, you know, well, fortunately, I work, so Thursday is not a good day for me. And that was probably the deterrence for me to slack up from going to Florida. But as far as promoting for somebody, since he does have a commercial, LaAsia Milan, who has been traveling and walking all the balls across the country everywhere, is having a ball next month, April the 14th. So I will be packing my bag going down to support him.
Okay, and Tony.
I have to agree with what's being said a little bit.
It's about promotion. You know, that's one thing. Now, I've been to Florida, but I went to Florida for several different reasons. One, I have family in Florida. Two, I have my best friend lives in Florida. And three, I always go to Florida regardless. And if there's a ball there, I'm going to go to that too. Like he says, you know, when there's a ball in Florida, we try to get to. There's a ball in there in Orlando. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't know nothing about it, and I have a dynasty in Florida. I didn't know until they was talking about it in the dining room. They started talking about it today, saying who's going and how they're going to get there and where they're staying and all that stuff. And I just like, man, there's a ball in Florida. I had no inclination there was a ball in Florida coming up this weekend. So, you know, it's about their own personal promotion and what you get out of there. I can tell you for a fact that I know LaAsia is doing her job. So while the rest of the
Oh, yeah, LaAsia is promoting the hell out of that ball.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to look at who the person is giving it as well. Like, are they doing their job? You can't just say, I'm having a ball and people are gonna write it down in their book. No, they gotta know that you're serious about this. So coming from another state costs money.
RR, you're back on the air.
Hey, yeah, I had to take a call, so I apologize.
Okay. Well, I will say this about Florida. Bottom line is, I think promoting is definitely one of the most important things, especially now with social networking. You have no excuse to get out there and promote what is going on, and you definitely need to promote in advance because a lot of the balls that are happening down there are happening in Miami. Miami is not an hour or two away for a lot of people. That's the first thing. And number two is you need to start showing your face, like LaAsia does. I've seen her up in New York, and she has definitely been doing her thing. But you have to start promoting in advance. You have to give these people detailed information on what is going on because Florida is not a more common place that people know. You're going to have to give them traveling information, hotel information, let them know detail on point A to point B, you know, things of that sort. And I think it needs to start off there. But also, Florida needs to get out more often. And I keep hearing that more people are traveling now from Florida up to some of the different boroughs. But that's what you have to do. It's all about networking. And once you network your brand, I am sure you are going to be able to get people to come down and be a part of what you guys are doing. So that's something that I just throw out there as a suggestion. When it comes
to that, I was going to say something. Isn't networking a part of, what's that nasty, dirty word they keep saying? Politics?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure it's not always a dirty word.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Let's take a couple of callers. 410-355, you're on the air.
Hi, everyone. I have a question for Tony Milan. Tony, if you were to throw a ball, can you name 7 fair judges that you would put on your panel?
I'll name you 7 judges because what I consider fair, other people might not consider fair, so I'm going to leave that open. I can tell you, one, Ronnie would be a judge, Stuart would be a judge, James would be a judge, Jasmine would be a judge. And I didn't even name anybody from my house yet, right? Someone from my house would be a judge. How many I got this? Tony Revlon would be a judge. I would do a man. I'm gonna go more than 7. I would do a man, which would be a judge. There's a few people that would be pretty good judges. Jack would be a good judge. Andre could be a good judge. Why was there noise when Andre could be a good judge? There's a few people. I mean, Clint could be a pretty good judge. Marcus could be a pretty good judge. Sebastian. I have a slew of people that are pretty good judges, but I'm just going to be honest with you. If I thought they were going to be 100% fair, if I was looking for a 100% fair judge, I wouldn't have no judges panel because that's not possible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. The next caller is 504-563. You're on the air. 504-563. Okay, guess not. Let me read up some questions really quickly, and then we're going to change this up. Okay, got you.
I'm sorry. I forgot to say Harold. I just had a flu of him I could have done. I had more than that, for sure, but she kind of caught me off guard a little bit.
I think press one. I think you're on the phone, Devon. Press one for me because I can't see you. The next question is, not question, but I have a statement from someone. I feel that each judge has four votes, the political, the popular, and the House affiliation. The political vote is caused the judge to is giving the ball. That's the political one. He will vote for the one on the runway with the largest house base to ensure for them coming to their ball. The popular vote is given to the child that is popular with the crowd. Then the house affiliation voting for your house member. Then you have a select few like R.R. Tony, Tiny, etc., who vote the fair vote, the one who actually deserves it. What do you guys feel about that?
I'm trying to figure out what was the exact question.
Well, it wasn't a question, it was a statement. That was their opinion.
They said, you have four types of judges.
You
have judges. Everybody judges up to, depending on how they want to swing and how they want to go. I mean, it's a true statement. But then, some of the girls that we even feel that are fair still have underlying shame. So you can't really put them in a category. They're just a judge.
Yeah, and that's what I said I was honest about it when I said about people I put on my panel, but do I think they're going to be 100% fair? Of course I don't think that. You know what I'm saying? Shade is a part of the ballroom scene. It's going to always be a part of the ballroom scene. It's going to make you or break you as a human being. It's just like pledging. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you talk about the popular vote. Think about the popular vote and the electoral vote. If we were by popular vote, George W. Bush would never been president. But guess what? He won the electoral vote. That's how it works. Was it fair? It wasn't fair to me because it didn't work in my favor. Was it fair to a Republican? Yeah, because it worked in their favor. So, it is what it is sometimes. I'm not trying to make people be like it's all like, well, why even waste our time? No, I'm just trying to get people to have a bit more of confidence within themselves that they can overcome some bullshit and become and try to make another difference or come up with a solution for it. But right now, it's called human nature. It's going to happen. Because name me a person who's asking these questions that would not vote for their house. Right there, you're automatically political.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. They call it house affiliation. I'm sorry. It broke down.
All right. We're going to take one last caller, and then we're going to change the topic about the panel, and we're going to close that up. Tisha, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you?
Tisha. Hi. I'm just listening to you guys, and I do have some opinions. Going back to the judging, my personal opinion, the new generation of judging, I think is worse than the old generation of judging because they're so stuck on who their girlfriend is and who's the it factor and not getting into what the person is really doing. And what really, really baffles me is when I sometimes watch the judges panel, they're paying attention to just one person, and I think that's not fair. A good judge will watch both parties, regardless of what the audience thinks, and they're going to pick the one that eats it. And I noticed that.
Right.
And that has to stop. And I'm not saying that all the new generation of judging is like that, but I noticed the new generation of judging today, they're so biased on who their girlfriend is. And a lot of times, if they don't know who the person is, they ain't going to even look at that person. They're going to go fool their girlfriend. And that's not, and that just, it irks me. Irks me! And also, Jasmine, you mentioned about Miami.
Uh-huh.
And I think, and this is my personal opinion. Miami's very cha-cha. And I don't know if y'all agree, but a lot of people don't go to that region to go to the balls because I think it's very biased as well in terms of if two people are judging, you know who they're going to go for. And I think that might kind of deter some people going to that region to go to a ball also.
Well,
and also with the marketing.
I will say Miami used to be very cha-cha, but it isn't anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's not like that anymore at all.
Go ahead, Keisha.
I want to say something to Keisha, actually. Keisha,
yes.
let me just put a bug in your ear or thought in your head and see where you go with this.
Yeah.
I have a problem. Here's my thing. I agree with what you say, but think about why they do it. If you put a new person on a panel, just got their status, that means they're still walking.
Right.
So they're not like a person who don't give a fuck. Like, it's nothing you can do to me. It's nothing you can do to a Rodney. It's nothing you can do to certain people. They don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? So they're gonna most likely be able to judge a little bit more fairly. But if you know you're still going to walk, it's going to be kind of crazy for you to be sitting around rocking some of these girls. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? And that's why when you do judges, I think it goes back to be more careful and more cognizant of who you put on the panel.
Right. I mean,
Tony,
I agree. You made a good point. I also say when you're walking a ball, you got to come with confidence. And when you got them legendary judges, you got to come up there with confidence, because if you don't come with confidence and they look like you, look scared, that also is not going to get your vote from them. A lot of times, a lot of people, when you come with confidence, that goes a long way. And I've seen a lot of kids, when they're walking, a lot of times they look nervous. They don't know what to do. They're so afraid of being chopped that they're not even focusing on their routine. And a lot of times the people see that fear. Oh, no, chop.
Kevin was at the bench event
last
night.
And again, that's part of practice. And that's part of growing and working with your kids and trying to groom them. So when you're actually walking, stage presence plays a big part in your walking. But no, I agree.
Okay. Well, thank you, Keisha, for tuning in. If you have any more questions, please press 1. Another question that came in, and it's going to be my last topic on judging, is how you guys...
News?
Somebody watching TV or got the TV loud or something, because we can hear you. How do the girls feel about judges going up for the kids while they are judging? How do you guys feel about that, especially... when it comes to, like, grand prize categories, major categories and stuff, how do you guys feel about that?
I didn't hear you.
How do the girls feel about the judges going up for the kids while they are judging?
Oh, okay. I should just say, okay.
Jasmine, I'll start with you. How do you feel about that?
meaning if... While the person is doing what they're doing on the floor, I'm going crazy while they're doing
it.
You're on a judges panel.
Well, yeah. I mean, that comes with the territory. If someone's eating it up, just like everyone on the side is going crazy, I'm visual too. If you eating it, I'm gonna go crazy. And
you know,
you're
what
not,
if it's your house member? I think the point they're trying to get at is your house member. It's walking, and you're, like, really going up, and maybe the other judges are not really going crazy, but you're, like, really going up. Do you think that persuades other votes?
No, because I think that looks a little – I guess that all depends on the scenario. I'm not one that's going to go up for my house member if they're not doing nothing. That's just me. If they are turning it and the other people on the panel aren't doing nothing, but I really feel in my heart that my member is really doing what they're supposed to do, yeah, I'm going to do it. I mean, that's what it's about. I mean, if they're not doing nothing, then no, I'm going to sit there with a blank face just like everybody else is, because they should have been doing what they were supposed to have been doing.
Okay,
and,
Vonna.
You know,
Vonna, what do you feel about that?
I mean... I don't know what they want, you know, us to do. Like, I suppose we have to, like, stern library cunt and just, like, no matter what happens, I suppose to just, you know, just be up there stern. No, if I live, I live. I'm a beat on tables. I'm a clap. I'm a talk shit. I mean, because I'm just a bad kind of girl. But I don't care. Like, you know, whatever. If it's my house member, if you turn it to me, you turn it. If you don't turn it, I'm going to sit in that seat and I'm going to make sure you understand when it's time to judge. I don't see it. It's your perception. If it's giving you the life that you're looking for, the same way we sitting at the table that we bought or we sitting at the justice panel. If I live for it, I'm going to go up for it.
Okay, Kelly, you're on. I think the question was directed towards you, Kelly.
Okay, because I sent the question. I wasn't really trying to come on tonight. I was trying to have a relaxed night. So I sent the question over, but, you know, I didn't write the question right. The question goes to all of y'all. If you're judging and two people are walking, why wouldn't, if you're a judge and you're going up for one person, how does that make the other person feel? They already automatically know who the judges is going to pick. If you're a judge, you're supposed to be, you're supposed to be biased and just sit there and just watch the performance, not going up for the children. That's the question to all of you on the panel. And y'all have a good night.
Well, I kind of disagree. Because when you watch American Idol or any of the other shows, the judges go off too. They get up and they feel it sometimes. So I mean, it's like the caller, like the other person just said. You get caught up in the whole moment. You know, someone's turning it. You're going to get your life. It doesn't mean you're going to give them your score or whatever the case may be. But at that particular time, they gave you something exciting and they brought you back to life. When you've been sitting there all night and finally somebody's coming out and giving you life, you're going to go ahead and take it. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that.
No, it's a difference when you have one person. I can see if one person is out there on the floor and they doing their thing. But if it's two people out there competing at the same time and you're a judge, how could you go up for one person? I'm not saying.
I'm saying when they first walk out at the
individual. I'm not saying when they first come out. I'm talking about when it's two people battling to see who's going to stay. That's the question to all of y'all on the panel. Not when one person comes out, when it's two people battling.
It's my turn. This is Rodney. I'm going to answer that, too. I think it is inappropriate for judges that when you're supposed to be watching both people, so you're supposed to be biased and not letting them know who you're going to vote for. But I think if you're on the panel and your house member is walking, and just say I'm sitting next to Kelly. Me and Kelly, we both on the panel, and my house member is walking against a Couture, and Kelly gets up and start, you know, snapping when the other child goes down, you know, when her child goes down to, you know, say, yes, she's eating it, she's turning or whatever. Then in turn, because I want to counteract what Kelly's doing, you know, I'm going to do it for my child. So we're battling both on the panel for respectability from the other judges and for a vote. So I think that's the only time when it might be appropriate is when someone does it, that their house member is walking, then the other judges want to do it just to make sure that they still are even playing field again.
Okay. Tony, what is your feel about that?
I don't know, because I'm a little bit confused on that, too. I think that, I don't know. I mean, if both of them are walking and they're both turning it, that's one thing. But if one is turning it more than the other, usually if it's your house and you know your house is getting eaten up, you're going to sit there. Like Jasmine said, you're going to sit there. You're going to try to do the best you can by clapping or whatever the case may be. But I don't think getting up and carrying on is really the answer. But if you know somebody's really, like, turning it, like Vonna said, you know, you're visual. You know what I'm saying? You know if it's just turning it, you're going to, you know, you get up in the moment sometimes. Sometimes it does happen. I mean, it is going to happen. It's going to happen to Kelly, too. I mean, she can sit there and play like it's not, but it is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask Marquise that question. Marquise, you're still there, right?
Yes.
Let's say you are walking and, you know, it's you and a Milan in a final battle, and all of a sudden you see Tony standing up, going, raising his finger, waving his finger, and going crazy and stuff like that. How does it make you feel as you're walking? Hello? My phone.
Hello?
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 That
was awesome. Hey, yeah, I'm sorry. That was our phone. Rodney, you're back. Marquise, you're back. Tony, you're back. I don't know what happened with ours, and I think it died. But Marquise, answer the question for me. What do you feel if that's happening while you're walking?
Well, honestly, I won't feel no way because I'm actually in a competitive environment. So if Tony is doing that to the Milan, I'm expecting Rodney on the panel, and
at my house to be right behind me doing the same exact thing.
Can I chime in and just say, you know, that's a lot like in sports when a basketball team is on another team's home advantage. You know, you're going to hear everyone yelling and cheering for that particular team, but if you're really focused on doing what you're doing, you know, the team can still win. Now, I have seen times where I've seen the expression on a person's face when they're battling and the other person's getting all the life, and it does kind of mess up what they're doing. And, you know, I tend to feel bad when I see that. So that's like a that's a double-edged situation there for me. I mean, what are you going to do? If someone's turning it, you can't help it. People going to go up for them. But I do feel for the other person as well.
But also, I can say one thing also with that, what you just said, like if you're going to go up there in front of the judges, you need to have self-confidence as well. You can't be up there feeling like, duh, when you're battling somebody. Just say, like, I'm battling somebody and I'm in a city where there's a whole bunch of Milans and there's only two prodigies there. Like, I need to have the self-confidence, like, oh, I can do this regardless if the Milans are screaming and shouting. Because that's half of the battle, the confidence.
Right.
Okay.
I agree 100%. That was an excellent
answer. Let's take these two callers really quickly, and then we're going to change topic. 347-365, you're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine. Hey, Tony. Hey, Rodney. Hey, everybody else. I agree with what Marquise just said. It's about confidence. A lot of times when you're on the runway, it does kind of hype you up to hear your house chanting for you or whatever. But when you're on that runway and the judges is going for the other competitor, then you just need to, you know, since remain confident in yourself that, okay, that's, you know, she's going up for them. That's only one vote. I'm just going to keep doing what I have to do in order to, you know. Yeah, you know, it's just, but, you know, we have to remember, like Mark said, it's a competitive sport. At the end of the day, they're all opinions. That doesn't make you less of a voguer. That doesn't make you less of a runway. It doesn't make you less of anything. You just keep up the good work. That's all. But I think we have to learn that it is competitive and it is going to be criticism, and you have to take the good with the bad. I think we have a lot of poor sportsmanship in the ballroom community.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Alexis. Stand by. And we're going to go to one more caller, 215-856. You're on the air.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Hello. Hi, Connie. How are you?
I'm good. Actually, the last caller just actually spoke on what I was just getting ready to speak about. But, you know, just to reiterate, I just feel like, you know, everybody is putting all this extra pressure on judges. You know, for the participants who are walking the balls, are they really that cocky to think that every time they walk a ball that it's their night? Like, are you serious? Like, sometimes it's just not your night, honey.
True that.
Like, yeah. I mean, like, are you really that serious? Like, you really that cocky that you think every time you grace a runway or what have you that you're supposed to win? No, it doesn't work that way. Life isn't that fair. And you got to go out there and do the best that you can do. If you win, that's fine and well. And if you don't win, okay, that's fine and well. But, okay, and sometimes, as I said before when we had this conversation before, sometimes even the person that wins grand prize, they might have won grand prize, but you might have won grand prize from the crowd, and that should be enough for you, and that should be more motivational for you to come back and even turn it at the next function. And believe me, if someone is judging and someone is more honest with themselves, they'll remember you, and they'll be looking forward the next time when you come and participate to the next function. And that should be also, that should make even the ball walker say, you know what, that's going to give me more motivation to say, okay, so-and-so got me this particular night, but you know what? All right, I'm going to see them at the next function. When you're at a ball, you see all the flyers and everything sitting on tables, and you say, oh, okay, well, I know they're probably going to be there. I'm going to make sure I come out and show up and show out and get them that night. So I think sometimes, like, we put all this pressure on, you know, judges or what have you. All I can say is do the best you can do and show up and show out at the end of the day.
Just to change the topic for a little for a second, Tiny, can you give us an update? I know you you've been paying attention to what's been going on here in Florida with the murder of the young boy. Has there been any changes today, you know, that you may have heard of really quickly?
As of right now, no, everything is still pending in reference to they still protecting, allegedly protecting Mr. George Zimmerman, and no charges have been brought upon him as of right now, but actually Congress is getting involved in everything, and I don't have my computer on because I got it on my computer, but I can send it to you. And I can inbox you later on, sometime today or what have you. Actually, what a lot of people can do is you can actually contact the governor's office. His name is Rick Scott down there in Florida, and put pressure on him because, like I said, at the end of the day, something has to be done about this because this hits home and it affects everyone at the end of the day.
Yeah, and if you guys are not knowing what we're talking about, which I pretty much think everyone does, but there was a young boy that was killed here, and it seems to be it was a racial issue. And the person that did the shooting pretty much didn't even get arrested or anything. He shouldn't have had a gun. The boy was 17 years old, walking home from the grocery store, picking up a bag of Skittles and a can of iced tea, going back home to watch the All-Star game with his family. And just because he was walking through the little complex with a hoodie, a guy who calls himself part of the neighborhood watch decided to harass him and shoot him and kill him. And pretty much they're not doing anything about it. So if you don't know anything about it, look it up. It's very important because it can happen to us, it can happen to our brothers, sisters, it can happen to anyone. So be a part of it. I think there was also a message today that I got on Facebook where they were saying, buy a bag of Skittles and send it to the sheriff of that police department as a form of supporting, the child that was murdered. And
Jasmine, and also too for that particular police officer who was involved with this particular case, everyone is asking for his resignation because if people don't know, you can go online either to CNN.com or MSNBC.com, and actually this same police officer was involved in another case where though a son of another police officer. He was out with his friends at a bar, and an African-American homeless man was out on a bench or something, and this young guy actually attacked this homeless man. He was African-American, and the attacker was Caucasian, and he attacked him, broke his nose. He was knocked him on the ground. He was bleeding out his nose, his mouth, and somewhat of his ears, or what have you. And when the police came, the attacker told the police officer, well, listen, just call my father. And he called his father, and nothing was done about this. So this same police officer is actually involved with a lot of, you know,
yeah.
Foolishness, yeah. So a lot of people are actually calling for his resignation. And like I said, today, later on today, when I turn my computer on, when I get up for work, I'll inbox you the number because everybody needs to put pressure
on the governor down there in Florida, because actually I actually spoke to two secretaries today, and I asked them a personal question, and I asked them, you know, were they parents, and they said yes, and I also asked them, how would you feel if your child was innocently killed from a murderer, because that's what it was, and they said no, we agree. And I said, well, can you just send Governor Rick Scott a message and tell him the world is watching? So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Thank you, Tanya, for that, and definitely inbox me that information. One thing I want to say is definitely, you know, the same thing that's happening here. You guys don't realize you guys have a strong voice. Instead of sitting in the background reading or being so opinionated and, you know, having so much to say, basically stand up and make a difference. Stand up and do something about it, because if you don't, everything's always going to be the same. You have the power to do something about a lot of things that are happening. Even when it comes to little things like this that we're dealing with in the ballroom scene, look at the real world. So much is happening in there as well. So I want to change the topic a little bit, and I'm glad that you guys are still on the air. Thank you so much. If you guys are on the phone line, please press 1 if you want to tune in for this tonight's topic. If you're in the chat room, please call in and press 1 as well. I want to change the focus a little bit from the panel to the issues with too many balls taking place at one time, even to the point where balls are now being given on the same day or the same weekend. How do you pick and choose your balls, and why? Rodney is one of the people who have traveled, and he consistently travels to so many balls across this country. And I want to know, basically, how do you guys feel about so many balls happening at one time? And, you know, is it a problem? And, you know, what can be done, if anything can be done? You know, Tony, we have talked about it in the group, and we, you know, we as well try to figure out something that can happen. Rodney, I want to really ask this to Rodney first. What is your opinion on that?
With me, pretty much now, because I've just do it just to be doing it. It's just the luck of the draw. I figure sometimes if we go to the Icons and Legends ball and their balls are a flop, or they're depending on their door money, or, you know what I'm saying, depending on the crowd to get their money, then why not give the new generation promoters a chance as well, just to see what their intel or what's going on with their circuit, or what's going on with their dependability. That's how I determine, you know, which ball I'm going to. I'll go to a ball, I'm in Kentucky if it's a new person, just to see, you know, what the scene is giving, or what the promoter is giving, or do they have their money, whether they're, you know, Johnny, you know, Poop Butt or Superstar Ebony. You know, I think it's just, you know, I just want to see what's going on. What's the crowd like? What's the talent that's going on? All the type is a lot of different things that drives me to go to the balls.
Okay. Tony, what do you feel about the balls being given at the same time and too many balls and stuff?
Well, there are too many balls. I can say that very easily. But in all fairness and honesty, like, if you know you have a crowd, you have to know, it's like in real business, you have to know your audience. If you know you live in a town, I'm not going to call any states, because I'm not going to be carrying on, but you live in a Oopaloopa, and you know Oopaloopa ain't coming to New York that same weekend, and nobody from Oopaloopa is going to ever come to New York, but you have enough of a crowd to, you know, make you some money, because that's what it all boils down to, having fun and making a little bit of profit. Then fine, go ahead and have it. You know what I'm saying? But like places like Chicago, Atlanta, D.C., they pretty much work hand in hand together. Somebody's given a function, and they usually pretty much try to be respectable and not give a ball that same weekend. Most of the times I see, and I think that's what people are. I think that's what the problem is, and that's what the focus is going to be on. Unfortunately, now we, you know, you have
how in North Carolina, which right now is acting a fool, but nonetheless, it is what it is. But the bottom line is that I think that the major cities, when you become a major city, and that's what people got to be careful about. When you become a major city, you're going to want to have less balls because you're going to fall. You're going to you don't want to overlap with another with your crowd. And that's basically kind of what Rodney is saying.
Okay. Jasmine, what do you feel about it?
I'm pretty much for the same. I totally agree with Tony and Rodney for that matter. I know down here we pretty much have a system where all balls that are given we bring it to the summit and we talk about the summit and, you know, during the summit and figure out whose ball is going to be at what time to make sure that that type of run-in doesn't happen. But for the most part, yeah, I agree with them.
Okay, Rhonda, how do you feel about that in Detroit area?
I totally agree. I don't know. And I agree to Tony with Tony 100%. And piggybacking off what you asked apart via that question of how do you choose the ball that you go to, it's just what I'm feeling. You know, some people balls, you know, going to be late. Some people balls, you know, you hope it's not going to be late and you get there and it's a bus. So, you know, you just took your gamble. But it's just about what I'm feeling and what city I want to go to and what kind of mode I'm in. Some places I have a ball when I'm traveling out of town, but I would never go to a ball at that place because I don't even like the state or the city or the people there, so I'm not going to go and participate on the team there. And then some places I love, you know what I'm saying, so I'm going to go there often. So it just depends on how really I'm feeling. And having too many balls, I mean, you know, it's a bigger scene, and like Tony said, you know, Oopaloopa might never go another place, so they're going to always have a ball there. You know, somebody always going to have to make rent, you know, so they're going to have a ball. So, you know, it's just real.
Okay.
So,
Marquise, yes. Really? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I want to. Well, when you get Marquise, I want to ask Vaughn a quick question. What determines when you say, well, you know a ball is going to be late? What are the factors that gear into what you're saying? You know a ball is going to be late.
Some people, you know. Okay. We all know the girls that are, you know, not even necessarily that they're naughty people, but that, you know, they're just late people or shady people, or they're girls that don't rent somebody else's ball, and now you want to have a bad ball because your rent due, or because, you know, if you know, you feel like it's your season because you're the it factor right now. You know, some balls you just know it's going to be tired. Some, you know, this girl, she's saying that she got $52,000, you know, grand fast face. And you know that she lived with, you know, in her grandma's basement, and she leave asking you for $5 in the club. How she got $52,000 to get somebody to face? I'm not going there for that. You know what I'm saying? So you can always judge it based upon when a ball is not going to be what you expect it to be. And sometimes you go, you know when it's going to be cute. But it depends on you.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead, Marquise. I'm sorry.
Marquise, really quickly, how do you pick and choose your balls? You know, with so many balls happening, how do you pick and choose? Is it based on your category? Is it based on your house? What do you do as far as that goes?
I look at it both ways. It's based on my house for me, and it's also based on what I feel like, since I'm up and coming, where I feel like I can make the biggest impact at.
Okay.
Where the most people are going to be at, where I'm going to be seen at more.
Okay. Okay. All right. Another question that is coming across is with the balls and how many, you know, so many balls happening and picking and choosing and stuff, what is the problem that we are facing and everyone's opinion on this with balls actually taking place the same day within that same city? When it doesn't happen too often, it does happen. And what do you feel, you know, can be done to avoid that? Do you feel that it's all about greed? Do you feel it's all about someone trying to piggyback off of maybe a festivity that is happening that weekend? Maybe it's Gay Pride or, you know, Labor Day or Martin Luther King or another major ball is happening. What do you guys feel about promoters that are doing this, and how would you make your decision on what to attend? I'm going to start off with Jasmine on that one.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess that can happen for different reasons. I mean, I've witnessed people try to sabotage, you know. It could be because clearly, like you said, maybe it's an event. Like down here we have Sizzle, and I guess people feel like because there's going to be thousands of people here, that's the best time to do it, which lately hasn't been the case. But yeah, maybe they think that. Or I don't know, maybe just poor communication or something. I mean, I don't know. I've never seen it happen personally. That seems
okay.
A little far-fetched, but, you know.
Really?
Okay, Ivana, any opinion on that real quick?
Yeah, real quick. I think that most places have alliances, and most places should go to the alliance. Like in Ohio, they have an alliance. You know, before anybody, they allow, you know, both major houses in Ohio to go to the ball. They, you know, your ball is approved at the alliance, and the alliance doesn't give the date out. So if you deal with that on a more organized basis, like Tony said, it's the business. So if you deal with it on an organized basis, you can counteract having two balls at one night when everybody's just sporadically throwing them if you have the organized tip of your region to actually go through that, but, you know, the panel of judges in that region. So.
Okay,
and
Rodney.
I'll just
say it again.
Rodney, what's your opinion? I'm sorry.
I think it's bad, of course. I do think it's bad, but I do think we should let the leaders of those prospective areas deal with the issue themselves, and that sometimes when it can't be dealt with, you just might have to choose, and then one entity will realize that based on me choosing which one, it'll be based on communication with my house or with the chapter I have in that area, what do they want to do at the house, who they want to go support this night or whatever like that, and we'll choose that way. But I don't think it should happen, but sometimes when you come with circumstances like that, the leaders are bumping heads and everybody's trying to see who's more powerful, who's more respected, who's more this, and then that's when the problem lies. But then that hurts the patrons. So therefore, they'll choose which bar offers the most money, which, you know, benefits the house the most, or with stuff like that. Then you have to wind up choosing that way.
Okay. Tommy?
For me, I'm going to, you know me, I'm going to try to get as much information as I possibly can. And like Alana says, there's a, what you call an alliance. I think the only state that the only region doesn't have one is the New York, New Jersey region because we don't have them foolish problems, so we don't need no alliance. But the bottom line is, if whoever that alliance, if there is an alliance, gave that date to first, that's who we'll be showing up at because that doesn't make any sense. Especially, Ronnie, you just tried that. You tried that. But especially if the person already has the day before, that to me makes no sense. Now you really get into obvious greed. And obvious shade.
Yeah.
So that's how I would do it. I would go to, I would go direct to the alliance and find out what happened and why is this going on. And if I see that there's some shade going on, it's nuts and caboodle to the person who threw the shade.
Okay. Marquise, your opinion?
I don't know. I just would go wherever my friends are going probably. Wherever I'm going ahead of most comfortable ahead of that summit.
Okay. I was going to say something, and it kind of slipped my mind because what Tony said was right and what Rodney said was right. So it kind of slipped my mind. So if it comes back, I will maybe piggyback off of it. I want to ask you guys how you feel about, and just as just a simple question, how do you guys feel about a promoter basically giving a major event, you know, usually on that Saturday, and then turning around the next day and giving a smaller event, like a mini bar or stuff, on that Sunday? Do you guys think that that's either considered greed, or are they trying to accommodate the people that are in town for that ball? Jasmine, what is your opinion? Do you think it's greed or accommodation?
Miss Kelly, is there this question?
I think it depends on where it's happening at. If it's, like I said, they're I know North Carolina has that Ebony Weekend, and down here we have the Sizzle, and then Atlanta has something. If it's something that's happening on a particular special weekend, I see nothing wrong with that. It's, you're just trying to give the kids something to do.
Okay.
If it's nothing going on, I don't know. I mean, it could be greed, or maybe they could still be just trying to give the kids something to do. I mean, I don't know.
Vonna?
It's like Jasmine said, it's a double-edged sword. You know, like, you know, Detroit, Janie's, you know, her awards ball weekend, you know, it's her having the ball, you know, the second ball afterwards is always a good idea because it gives the kids in Detroit a lot of things to do, you know, that whole weekend, and it accommodates them, you know, have fun all weekend. Some people, you know, which I remain nameless, you know, I know do it out of shade and do it out of malice. And so sometimes they're a little bit greedy because, you know, they really are not a non-factor, so they're trying to become a factor. But it's just really a double-edged sword. I don't always think that it's greed, though, because most of the time, the most people have these functions, they don't make money anyway.
Okay. Rodney?
I'm going to say a combination.
Okay. And Tony?
Well, I'm only going to speak for New York. I'm not going to go down that path. For me, no, because let's say, like, the awards ball is this weekend, and the awards ball is supposed to be for every region. So the next day is the awards ball for just the New York, New Jersey area. So, no, to me, it's not a greed situation. It's just another date for another function. The girls from out of town, they don't want to come. They don't have to. There'll be enough people in New York to be there because they want the awards for their region. You know what I'm saying? So, no, that's the only time I have to see it happens anyway, you know, personally speaking. With the same person gives a ball.
Okay. I'm going to take a couple of... Oh, I'm sorry, Murky, any opinion on that?
No, I just look at it like a combination. They want everybody to have fun for the whole weekend.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Because I know that I ran into that issue, especially when you're giving a ball out of town, you know, in a small area like Virginia or so. That a lot of people do, especially with the balls being, you know, over so late, a lot of people don't want to go back to the hotel and have to check out at 11 o'clock in the morning. They want to sleep in for the, you know, afternoon and stuff, and they want to do something that evening. Or the locals in the area maybe, do, you know, don't want to participate so heavy, but they want to just do something, you know, more a mini ball, you know, just bring it. They don't have to put so much into their effects and stuff, so they kind of look forward, you know, a small little function the next day. So depending on the promoter themselves, I don't think it's greed. I think it's more accommodation, but we do have the greedy promoters that will try to piggyback off of someone else's event, and they have nothing to do with what's going on in that city, but they'll try to piggyback off of it, and that to me is the greed. I'm going to take a couple of callers that are on the line. I don't know if they want to tune in for this topic or give an opinion, but I do still see them in queue. Keisha, did you want to touch up on any of this real quick? Keish?
Boom, she's asleep.
I know I'll be on. I did that last week.
954-588,
you're on the air.
954-588. Mm-hmm.
Come on, Florida.
Okay.
Chime in.
This is when you're speaking. Don't be afraid. Okay, well, I'm going to call back in. Tiny, did you want to touch upon any of this?
I have a question to everyone on the panel. Like, I understand that the ballroom scene has evolved, which evolvement is actually a good thing. But sometimes I would like for you guys to give me your honest opinion. With all these balls that are going on all throughout the country, sometimes isn't it just like ball overdrive? Like, because every time Like, I know I haven't been to a ball in a long time, but, I hear about the balls and, from me speaking to different people, and I'm like, oh, God, where you going now? And, I'm like, ugh, child, it's just too much. So what do you guys think in reference to that? Like, is it just ball overdrive, like, with so many balls that are going on throughout the country? And like I said, at the end of the day, I'm all for evolvement, but I just think, like, it's a little too much. And I don't think the people who actually participate in the balls, I don't even think they actually have, like, a reset moment to kind of, like, just take a breather for a moment, because before you know it, it's another one coming, one right around the corner again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, even though it's one coming, okay, it's a ball on Saturday, and it's the next ball on this Saturday, and the next ball on that Saturday, you don't necessarily have to go to all of them. You know what I'm saying? You could, but unless you got ball fever and you're just trying to, hurry up and try to gain some type of notoriety. But, it's about, the choice. Just because it's, 100, pieces of trade don't mean you have to sleep with all 100 pieces of trade. You choose what you want. You know what I'm saying? So it's just basically, it can be a little bit too much, but it's also based upon what we want to do. If we want to go, we want to go. If we don't, we don't.
Right. For me, Tiny, this is Rodney. How you doing?
Hey, sweetheart. How are you?
Good, baby girl. For me now, it's more of sightseeing, social networking, and all of that. So I go to the ball, I go to the city, I try to go, like just said, I went to Cincinnati, I've been to Youngstown. I go to those cities because those are places we never really go to on a regular. So if it's a ball there, I go just to see what's going on. Then I'll try to get the club in, or I'll go to, I ask around, what's your famous bar, what's the famous club in the city. So I get, it's like, a tourist attraction plus the ball plus everything when I go.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I do. I try to go to the straight club or go to the gay club, see the difference, go to a bar, have some drinks, one of the famous bars in different cities. So I learned some history of that city as well as going to the balls.
I kind of agree with what Tanya says, but at the same time, I agree with both things that she said, because to me, she kind of asked the question and answered it pretty much, but at the same time, if a person needs a reset button, then they should just not go. They should just do that, reset themselves. I don't think that a business person, because that's what you become a ball promoter, that's a job. I don't think that you should have to stop your thing because you feel that other people need a reset, because what one person needs, another person doesn't need. And you also said again, which was a very good point, that people are out there trying to get their names known. Some people take this very, very seriously. And because we may be at where we're at, that we don't take it as seriously no more, we can brush balls off and know when we come back to one, we're going to be right back in the same position and have the same love that we had. A lot of other people don't see it like that. So therefore, they have to do what they have to do when they have to do it. And I respect them for that as well, because without them, balls would just die entirely. And we don't want that to happen. So, I think it's a... at first I felt very different. I used to always say, girl, we need to, at least balls need to stop in the summertime, child. Don't the schools get a summer break? But, now I don't feel that way anymore. It's like, I think I kind of evolved, and I see other people's point now.
Thank you. Thank you, Tani, for that one. We'll come back to you in a few. Alexis, did you have anything you want to touch upon?
Yes, I love the way this panel is dancing around this this topic about the balls being on the same day. But
I didn't dance. I just didn't call no names. I didn't dance.
I did a walk. This is my thing with that.
Spark it, Alexis. Spark it.
being the mouth of the South from the Wendy Williams of Atlanta, let's just call a spade. It's no shade. Marcus and them is having this awards ball in North Carolina on that Saturday. Then they turn around and they are having the aftermath. I've seen Jasmine do it. I've seen some people in Atlanta do it. I've seen some people in Chicago do it. I've seen just about in every region, I've seen someone do it. Now, I don't know all the logistics of everything that's going on. Of course, Rodney, we only get
that side of it. So, but my thing is this, there was nothing going on down there, and I'm not being offensive to nobody or whoever the other parties are, but if there was nothing going on down there and they're having their ball and they want to have a ball the next night, I don't see a problem with it. Now,
That was the point right there. That's the problem right there, but go ahead.
Now, my thing also is now if, you know, I mean, if Tony's having a ball here in New York and I decide to have a rumble ball the next night, then I don't see where Tony, if me and Tony can come to some kind of agreement, you know, well, look, you having this ball so-and-so and so, you know, I want to have a ball the next night. I think it's a lack of communication probably between the two parts. Not only that, it's too many hands, you know, on one party. Because it's too much. Some of the comments that I have been reading from Marcus, it's just like, what the fuck? Excuse me. What are y'all got going on? Like, one person out of this group is saying they didn't tell this first. It's just a lot. But the thing is, I think they need to communicate better with each other. And I'm pretty sure there's somewhere that they can come to an agreement where both parties can be happy.
Can I ask you a question on that? But if you've been told, if you are outside of looking in, of course, because all of us are outside of looking in, no matter who it is, and you've been told that their alliance gave the date to another group of people first.
Right.
What's the
problem? Well, if the alliance gave it to the group, then one.
The alliance fucked up.
The alliance fucked up. If you're having a major ball that weekend, right? And, okay, I'm going to say this. Like, when I was in Atlanta, if it was a major function, and a lot of times our balls are on Sunday, so we don't have aftermaths unless it's a major holiday and they're starting to have balls on Saturdays. But so that's probably never wouldn't be a problem, you know, in Atlanta. But just hypothetically speaking, if we have a ball on Saturday, I come to the Alliance. As a matter of fact, prime example was MLK weekend. The Blonics had the awards ball, and the Ebonies wanted to have a mini ball the next night. Well, the Ebonies brought their proposal to the Alliance first, and they got the night. Well, there's nothing that Blondies could have done.
Right.
But if it's a weekend where if I didn't have my ball, okay, would you have your Rumble ball the next night? Would you have would the crowd even be here?
If I'm not prepared for it, I'm not prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
I can do without that. I mean, my whole point is it doesn't make me. I was just giving you hypotheticals with a little bit of what we've been getting. That's all I'm telling you. So I'm just saying like this: if I have my date secured and you, oh my God, somebody woke up. If I have my date secured and you have your date secured, but I realize that I can't really make money on my date, so I'm going to go ahead and impose on your date, that's called being unfair and that's called being greedy. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care how you dress it up and how you talk to people you think are less as logical as you are. It is what it is.
Right. Well, I mean, my thing is this. If you can't make money at a major function, right, and you think you'd make more money at the mini ball, then something ain't right. Now, the other caller said something about too many balls. This has always been my thing. I have been in cities back in my day when I did a lot of traveling heavily. But, of course, I traveled. If I wasn't benefiting, I wasn't going. So there would be times where they would have mini balls. After the major function, I'm through. I don't want to see no more balls for that weekend, no more mini balls, no aftermath, no rumble ball. I would pay. I've been in New York, and they were like, oh, we're going to the mini ball. Have fun. I'm staying here. You know, it's up to the person. It's just like a drug habit. The person has to know when to say when. Mm-hmm. Just because they bring you the bag, that don't mean you got to hit it.
I want to say thank you, Alexis. As a matter of fact, Alexis, I'm just going to leave you right there. That pretty much is going to go into our next topic really quickly. But before we get to that next one, I do want to say one thing. I don't like taking private callers, but you seem to be consistent, very persistent
on pressing 1 a lot. So I just want to see what you have to say. So, private caller, you're on the air. Private caller, you're on the air. What? You hung up, so that person won when you call in. And for people that are listening from their computers, the show is about to go into overdrive. We got 5 minutes left on the show before we go into record mode, so please press 1 because you won't be able to listen from your computer anymore, so please press 1. And if you want to tune in for tonight's topic and give your opinion or have any questions, please press 1 to sit among the panel tonight. But the next question I'm going to ask is basically, when we say that there is so many balls going on and people have to pick and choose their balls wisely, I'm going to ask a question about grand prize categories being the new source of income. Do you think people are traveling so much, are participating at every ball, to try to win this money because that is how they are supporting themselves? Do you think that that is now the new source of income and that's where all the problems lie as well when it comes to being so political, to all the drama, the fighting and things of that sort? Do you feel that the money has played a major part in why people are traveling or participating at every damn ball for $500, $100, or $1,000 categories? What do you guys feel about that? I'm going to start off again from the top and work my way down. I'm going to start with Jasmine.
As far as the people coming to try to get, as you say, rent money, I have to be honest, that was going on when I was walking in the 90s. I remember specifically one particular ball where there was, well, the house wasn't legendary at that time, but they are now, where it was a known factor that they came out to win the grand prize because they wanted to pay their rent. And that was just a known thing. I just think that now, because money is being put more up front, I mean, you don't even have to come. It's not even about grand prize now. I mean, you have so many sidebar categories that are giving away money. And back then, it was only grand prize. Every other category was not for money. It was for, you know, a really nice trophy. And 9 times out of 10, about 30%, it was only 30% of the people that would come that were going to participate in the grand prize. So your other 70% of the people who were walking were only coming to win trophies for their house. So today, it's really different, you know, because I took a break from the ballroom. So I took like an 8-year break from it, and now that I'm back, you know, it's completely different. It seems like it's more of a business to me. I'm not talking about every house. Some houses seem like it's more a business to me than it is, you know, the family ballroom thing that it was back then. But I'm quite sure the same thing that was happening then is happening now. It's more houses and people willing to put up more money.
All right, Vonna.
I'm kind of torn with that kind of thing because I don't know what kind of lifestyle you can even lead to want to just travel everywhere to try to make money to, I guess, have an income. Because what if you only live once? You know what I'm saying? People are doing it, you know, and they are money hungry. We're going to just be honest. You know, people chase money. They want money. We always have to have it. But you end up spending, you know, so much more money to get there and for your room and for, you know, your effects and for your other stuff. So you're really just kind of sometimes recouping the money that you already have spent out. So you can't really live off of it like an income. But I do see how people are starting to gravitate more than money. Well, I don't care about the trophy. I just want the money. So I don't, and like she said, people have been doing this for a long time. It's just more prevalent now because it's more money being passed out. So I just, it's a stupid factor to me, but people do it.
Okay, Rodney.
I do think sometimes it is, and sometimes I think it's the, you know, you have the talent for it, and you have people that will invest in you to bring you to that pinnacle
where you can be the in the $1,000 club or in the $5,000 club. So you, some people do it for, of course, to pay, you know, a light bill, a gas bill, something like that. But I think it's more of a spectacle. I'm in light because I just won this, or I'm going to win this. Thing. So it's like a mixture, in my opinion.
Okay, Tony.
To me, that sounds like a read to me. I really don't care what they're going in for. You know, personally speaking, if they want to go, they want to travel 400,000 miles to go to a ball and win some money, that's their personal business. You know what I'm saying? Like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? I really don't care, you know, personally speaking.
Okay. Marquis.
I feel just like Tony. Like, that's not like a read. Like, what do you care what I'm doing with my money? Like, so what if I pay my bills with it? And I really don't think, like, somebody could travel all the way to Alaska to try to win $1,000 so they can come back home to Vermont to pay a bill. Like, all of that traveling, lodging, everything is probably going to be more than $1,000. It's going to affect, because I'm pretty sure if you're walking a $1,000 category, to actually win it, you're going to need a big impact. So you're probably spending the whole $1,000 to do everything. So I think it's just a read people use, and now people just taking it around with it.
Okay. Alexis?
Do me a favor. Ask that question one more time before I elaborate.
Okay. Basically, what do you feel about maybe grand prize categories are now people's new source of income? Basically, they make such a spectacle of themselves when it comes to grand prize categories because they're walking just because they're using this money as their source of income. So it's not more or less the fact of me walking for a trophy anymore or for, you know, the popularity of it. It's more or less, bitch, I have to win this grand prize because I have to pay my rent or pay my lights and pay my water, whatever. And this is what causes a lot of the drama when it comes to some of the violence and things that are happening at the balls. You know, is this why people are traveling from Alaska to Nebraska to Milwaukee? You know, what do you feel about that?
Okay. Well, let's be honest. Being as a girl, and the most I've ever won is $250 because realness has never been a high price category. Honestly speaking, let's say this. 75%, because you do have that 25%, I'll give it even a 50-50. 50% of the ballroom scene does have an honest living, right? The other 50%, they either get in town early to put their ad up, they get in town early to, you know, work their magic wands. And so I hope like hell people are not dependent on grand prizes as a source of income. There is no way.
Hey, thank you.
You have to, first of all, like Marquis said, I have traveled and we all know I have crafted my way to a lot of functions. Buying tickets, crashing hotels, eating, drugs, everything. And you spend $1,000 before you even get where you're going, especially being a female figure.
Yep.
And walking certain categories, you're gonna have to spend $1,000 on your effect, period. Runway face, you know, because if it's $1,000, you know they're looking for a total look. Now, Vogue Femme, that's a little different. You know what I'm saying? Because you're making getaway with a little cut in the corner here, a cut in the corner there. But grand prize is a form of living, unless you only walking for $5,000, be for real. You can't live, I can spend $1,000. Come on, now.
Basically, people are spending so much to get to these places that, you know.
I remember one time, Jasmine, say for instance, you drive to a function. Gas, depending on where you go at, tolls, plus you got to pay for a hotel. And if you don't have a connection or you're not crafting a hotel room, a decent one, but of course, you know, you have some girls who will pile 10 people in a room. And then, say, for instance, They got a Vogue Femme squad, but you know this one girl is going to turn your category. Some people make sure that she get there. She ain't got no money to eat. She's sleeping on somebody else's floor.
Mm-hmm.
She barely got money to get in the ball.
Ain't got
just to get the money to come home, but when she get back home, she ain't got no place to stay. She's sleeping on somebody else's floor. So I mean, like, ballroom live. You cannot live off balls. I'm sorry.
Well, let's be honest. You know that there are people who are doing it.
What? There are people, Jasmine. But you can. There is not. You cannot live.
Yeah.
Please explain to me, how can a human being, a decent human being, live off walking function? First of all, you don't even know if you're going to even get the grand prize. Second of all, let's go back to Chicago when you used to walk to go to a function in Chicago, and by the time the girls get in, pay their money, Star Statement to Legend start, Rodney done slapped somebody. I'm just keeping it real. Be for real.
Let's get these two callers real quick.
Okay.
I live. 404-254, you're on the air.
I can't stop laughing right now. Alexa just basically touched everything that I was just going to say. This is how fine. How y'all doing? I find it hard to believe to survive off $1,000 myself, because my rent is more than $1,000. So I don't know. Oh, that's sad, people doing that. But, yeah.
Well, maybe there should be a poll, not even a poll, but a record keeper. And you need to actually take some of these individuals that we actually think are doing this and keep a track of the grand prize wins and see how much money they have made in the past 6 months or even a year. And I don't even think that individual can do it. You know, that one individual that does this will be able to keep track. They probably will be surprised that come January 1st of the following year, they will see that, bitch, I want X amount of dollars for the whole year. Where did the money go?
I'll be curious to know how many give back to their house if they win this kind of money, because, I mean, I'll give them back to my house. The highest I won was 500.
Don't get Kelly to call in here. But go ahead.
Oh, my God. I'm going
to. That's something that happened in me growing up into the ballroom scene, you know, people that won certain prizes, they gave back to the house and stuff like that. But nobody does that. I mean,
well,
of course.
Half of the houses don't even help their members.
Say that again?
Half of the houses don't even help their members.
Right, that's true, too.
So why would you give that?
That's
I mean, some of us are independently stable to do that for ourselves, but some of us are not. But what I'm saying is, like, sometimes, I mean, I would think it's to give back to, you know what I'm saying, your house. But, you know, people just don't do that. So
I'm not trying to call, you know, stir up anything or call anybody out or anything like this. But I do want to ask the opinion of Tony and Rodney when it comes to this. You guys were the first ones to win one of the balls that I was affiliated with, the $10,000 grand prize. What did you guys do? You know, when it comes to this, you know, especially large grand prizes like that, what at that one time, what did you guys maybe pre-plan or plan or do what was such a large grand prize amount when it came to that in your house winning that?
They didn't get all of it.
I know, Ronnie, you was a part of that house that time.
Right. It was pre-planned. We had a meeting. It was pre-planned. This is what was going to happen. Everybody who came, whether you won or not, if you walked the category, if you won it, you're going to get a percentage out of that. You're going to get a cut for whatever it was. But before they even got a cut, $1,000 had to go back so that we could take everybody who was up out to eat. We went to Dave and Buster's, if I'm not mistaken. It's massive.
Right.
It came out to more than $1,000 because we didn't tell people it's not what not to eat. We said, order whatever you want and just eat. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we did. We did. That's one thing with the money. The rest of it we gave. We let them break it up. If somebody, just say if it was Hassan and Rodney went walked, and Hassan, we split it up by how many people walked. How many people walked? That's how we did it. Not if Rodney won, he would keep the whole thing of that portion. No, he would get his portion and Hassan's portion. No, Hassan would get. If Hassan didn't walk, I mean, if he didn't win, then he still would get a portion because he walked. So that's how we did it.
Okay.
I can't see how nobody else did it.
I agree. It should be that way.
I do want to touch on as far as giving back to your house and different stuff like that. I think it's the option of the individual. I'm going to use myself per se. I work a lot of balls. I get myself together. You know, get effects, money, whatever I need. So I don't have anybody to give back to.
Thank you.
But right. On the other hand, I have bought tables for my house. Paid a couple of people into the ball, different stuff like that. So that is a form of giving back. But that's the option
right.
of the individual, not
right.
a choice that you have to do.
In all right. fairness, that was a different kind of question, too. I mean, in all fairness to Rodney, that was a different kind of question because the $10,000 one was a house thing.
No, I'm not talking about that. Give back to the house and different stuff like that. So I was just getting the.
No, that's what like some people that when they house helped them get themselves together and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's what I was talking about.
It will happen more time from the parents. I do know some circumstances where the kids actually get the parents together, which I'm not going to call out because that's personal.
Right.
But,
well, yeah, it happens a lot with the trophy mothers. The kids and everybody gets the trophy mother there and do everything, and she wins a little 5,000 or 1,000 or whatever.
And she keeps it all for herself.
And she keeps it all for herself.
All right, look, y'all scared to say it.
I heard about that from the trophy high profile film queens that they do that, but you know.
The high profile.
Yeah. We have a call. How Tom stay right there. 202-604. You're on the air. 202-604. You're on the air. Okay, maybe you fell asleep.
I'm about to say goodbye to you guys. It's my time. I got I got work in the morning. I gotta go.
Rodney, thank you for tuning in.
No problem. I enjoyed myself with the panel. You guys were, like an intelligent group of people, So it was a nice mixture.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You guys have a good night.
Everybody say good night to Rodney.
Good night, Father.
Good night, son.
Good night,
baby. Good night.
Good night. Yes, Keisha, you're still there. Did you wake up yet? Okay, did you guys have any questions before we continue? Did you guys want to touch upon anything? Jasmine, any opinions about tonight's show or, anything you wanted to bring to the table really quickly?
No, not yet. So far, so good.
Okay, Vonna, anything you wanted to say?
Same with Jasmine. So far, so good. I'm really enjoying this tonight.
Thank you. Marquise, did you want to touch up on anything really quickly? Or you had anything you wanted to talk about?
I had this one thing. I haven't really heard it lately, but just, the microwave generation and stuff like that. I wanted to touch up on that because I kind of feel like that people, I guess it's my generation, that's supposed to be the microwave ones. I kind of feel like it's the older ones that's making my generation microwavable because they have microwavable categories and they don't have the ball flowing enough so people can express their talent and creativity fully.
Give us an example. One by one, guys. Give us an example of a microwavable category, and then we'll individually ask everyone's opinion.
Okay, well, I'm going to give a recent one. When I was just saying the Midwest Awards Mall, and they had 12 categories that said blanket with red, white, and or silver.
Okay.
12 different categories that said that. I feel as though what creativity was there out of the promoters that had 12 categories that said the same thing.
Okay, let me ask you a question, Marquise. I understand what you said about that, but give me a specific category that you would think, okay, somebody can just copy and pop out and just be like, ta-da, I'm legend.
Right.
Wait, what you mean? I'm not understanding.
Give me a category
that doesn't require a lot to become,
right.
Like, real. Say for instance,
like
real.
Runners. Okay, my category, schoolboy runners. I don't think that requires a lot to be legendary.
Oh, this is that Marquise. Oh my God, I'm sitting going, why Marquise don't sound like this? When his voice changed, this is schoolboy. Okay. And then calling Rodney Father. Okay, now it makes sense. Okay, my bad. I was totally lost, child. No shade. Okay. I'm on track. Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all,
no shade though.
When you come out schoolboy, y'all got legends for schoolboy besides Jason. I mean, it's two other legends, but I was just using that category as an example.
As an example, okay.
I'll tell you my personal opinion. I never thought there would be a legend for that category ever, and not in my lifetime at the very least. But the simple fact is that it's supposed to be a temporary category, but. You know, lo and behold, you know, I'm being honest, we used to tell Jason to change up the category, but he remained looking pretty young enough to keep walking and keep winning it, so he proved us wrong. So now I don't say nothing no more. I wouldn't say nothing to nobody because there's an example. Once somebody breaks the mold, it's broken. You know what I'm saying? He broke the mold, so the rest of the girls can sit there and become legendary in that category if they can moisturize enough
maintain,
to stay looking
right.
young enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I wouldn't tell nobody to stop walking that category. If you think you can do it, do it. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I don't think that's and that's truly not a microwavable category for anybody because it's difficult to sit there and keep looking pretty much young enough to walk schoolboy.
Yeah. So Marquise, give us another example of a microwavable category.
No, I wasn't.
I wasn't saying microwavable legend.
I was saying microwavable generation, as in my generation is the generation that loses the creativity of the ballroom, or we're just the ones that's, you know, trying to hurry up and rush it out, when I feel like it's the older generation because they're the ones that's throwing the ball, and they're the ones that's making it faster. Like, okay, we're going to hurry up and rush this ball. So then that we rush this ball, nobody is able to really display their creativity. So maybe if people were actually coming up and, like, in my generation, you know, able to display their creativity without the ball promoter saying, okay, y'all, we only got 10 minutes left. We can't do no productions.
Then let me
everybody
ask you a question,
though.
Dude, how many do you blame the older generation, or do you blame a bitch not being able to get a ball on time when they say it started at 10 and the girl's going to come in at 2?
Well, that's kind of 50-50 because if you
exactly.
got such a ball, if you got your money.
But you're not saying it in a 50-50 tone. You're saying it's the older generation's fault. That's what you said.
The only reason why I say it's 50-50 because I'm giving the older generation some sympathy because the only reason why I feel is that they don't start their ball on time is because they're in the crowd. But a real person will start their ball regardless if there's two people there.
I don't think they're going to do that, but go ahead. Ain't somebody else want to take that? Because
Well, you know what? I want to ask about that, and I'm going to ask that question in a second, but did anybody else want to touch up on what Marquise said?
I don't understand.
I don't quite understand either, Jasmine, but he kind of – okay. I wanted to say something, but it's going to need a whole show for what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Because
we got a debate going on.
Yeah, it's a very heavy debate, and my brother knows I'm a little upset with him right now, but that's neither here nor there.
Don't be upset. It's all right.
Okay.
Welcome
this is my thing. Okay. This is my thing. We have the whole status has become a big issue with the ballroom scene. Let's all jokes aside. My thing is this. When you come in about status, first of all, they changed the rule in 2006, 2007, to become legendary.
Mm-hmm.
It was 5 to 7 years, right? right?
That's correct. Tell them if they change it, so we're going to go with what you say and keep it moving.
No,
keep
right,
we're going to go with what you say, right.
I don't remember what year it was, but I do remember when it was changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have some people who haven't been getting recognition until they switched up their category. You have some people who have been getting overlooked because their house member is just not doing their job. You have some people who have been getting recognition who don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot get mad with the individual because the icons, whoever it was that deemed them, gave them their status. Now, this is my thing. All the icons like to point their fingers at each other. But just about every icon, now I ain't gonna say everyone, but some of the icons have been taking it upon themselves to appoint certain individuals. Now, when the other icons don't see it, they get mad. But then you have to remember, you did the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of example?
There's some legends that have done that, so. You know,
you're right. It is some. I shouldn't say icons, but just the older generation. I'm just use that as an example.
No, some of them is young too doing it. Shit, I ain't gonna listen. Now we gonna keep it funky and talking.
Okay, we'll keep it. I'm just going by
right.
What I know, Tony.
No. I'm not.
Okay.
No. I'm not going to ask you like that.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm of course I'm going to defend the icons. I'm damn sure going to defend the older generation. But you know, we're gonna talk in riddles. We're gonna talk in riddles. So since we doing riddle talking. I'm going to give you riddle answers. It ain't just the older generation that's doing it. Okay, that's number one. Number two, some people do deserve this. And here's the difference with what you just said. And I keep saying it, and I'm going to say it again. In every room I've been in, I say it, and I damn sure say it in the Real Icons and Legends group. There's a big difference between being deemed and being acknowledged. A very big difference.
Right.
You can,
that's true.
I can go out there and deem that ant, but if the rest of the people don't acknowledge it, bitch, you just, so what?
That's true. But what I'm saying, Tony, it's not fair. This is my thing. If you deem somebody legendary, you feel like that person has been doing their job, they have been out on the ballroom floor, they have traveled from state to state, they have hold their own, they have carried whatever, right?
Now, and then, nobody acknowledges that, then what?
Hold on.
I don't like to cut it off. Go ahead.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Alexa.
You deem this person, right? So maybe Hassan being legendary don't see it. But then Hassan takes it upon himself to deem so-and-so and so legendary, but you don't see it, right? That's not fair. It's not fair.
I agree with you. It's not fair to the individual.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But I've always said that, and I'll be honest with you. I've never deemed anybody. The only person I've ever said anything for and about, and acknowledged, is because it was acknowledgeable, and that was, I was having a problem with them not calling James Icon an icon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had this conversation. That's the only time I ever spoke on this topic. I don't get myself involved into all of this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because to me it sounds more like a power struggle.
But right,
I will tell
that,
you,
exactly.
This little bit I will tell you. There has been something put in place. It will be coming out soon. And I think I believe that you'll be very pleased with it because it leaves no room. Well, I can't say that. It leaves a very little room for error.
Right.
It'd be very little room for error. And I think a lot of people will be pleased with it. I think the problem people are going to – I think personally, and I really don't care, but I think the next problem is going to be if now people are going to – all of a sudden they're going to be going, well, it's not fast enough now. See, it's always going to be a problem. And that's going to be the next problem.
My only issue is I don't really care because I didn't come to the ballroom scene for status. It doesn't matter. I came in being the person who I am, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to say what I want to say, do what I want to do at any given time. My thing is this. It's sad that they make people feel bad because someone else took it upon themselves. Like in the past, I've been home over a year now. Within the past year, you have had icons that have been deemed that people didn't see. You have legends that have been deemed that people didn't see, right? But the person that didn't see it, they took it upon themselves to deem somebody else. And
right.
So now that person that has been deemed is like caught in a crossfire because, one, they don't really want to be, feel like they, you know, they don't want to be caught in the middle of it because, okay, I'm supposed to be legendary, but then if I walk legendary so-and-so, this one that don't see it is going to chop me. That's not right.
But here's a grown-up thing that we've done in our groups. Here's a grown-up thing that we've done. I think I can share this with you. We're not going backwards. What has been done is done.
Thank you.
We've already made that clear. We're moving forward. What's been done is done. I don't give a fuck who. Let me tell you something, because I bet you one thing. The same person that's talking, or whoever is talking, I bet you they just deem something. I bet you they're going to want it. So I just,
okay, wait,
I, you know, we just all about moving forward now. We're not. I understand your argument, but that argument has already been discussed, voted on, and moved on. Whatever they have right now is what you have. It is what it is. You are, or you will be acknowledged for that now. And it is what it is. It doesn't matter what a person may think deep down inside their soul or whatever, because everybody has something they can say about the next person.
Okay,
well let me ask you this. Can I get a word in for a change? Tony, let me ask you this, Tony. So, okay, let's say it's a situation of a person who hasn't been acknowledged as a legend, but somebody supposedly had deemed them but didn't deem them. And then the icons say that person is not legendary. Then what is the situation then? Is that person
never
still
been deemed or acknowledged?
And somebody else, huh?
You said they've never been deemed or acknowledged? Because
they
I don't
have never been deemed or acknowledged
them
at a major ball. Never.
Then they're not.
Okay, thank you.
Whose phone is that?
I don't know.
Somebody, I'm getting a lot of feedback. So, basically, fix your phones if you can. Alexis and Hassan, basically, don't get mad when I say this, but basically the topic that you guys are talking about is Ken being called out as a legend last night. Is that
right.
What you guys are talking about?
Well, Jasmine, no, I'm not only Ken.
I'm not,
because I will argue for my child and my friends. I'm not talking about Ken only. There are a few other people that has been done to.
But they
that's
can't
what
I can period because that was done. That hasn't been done almost two years ago. Because I've heard that before I went on vacation. So how
Whoa.
Is that a big issue now?
Well,
Whoa.
This is what happened. Hold on. At the Blahnik Ball, a lot of people. Well, Ken was supposedly deemed legendary by Jay, right?
They were supposed to get Dean, but they didn't. Tony,
okay.
Stop that.
Well, last night. No. I wasn't there, so I don't know. I said supposedly.
I was there.
So last night they called him out as a legend. Okay. I know my child's history. I know what he's done, what he hasn't done, where he's been. I stand up for what I believe in, and that's just that. But my thing is this, if they gave it to him, why is there so much ruckus from people? Now, mind you, Tony, you were there at the Icons Ball in 06?
05.
No, 06. In Atlanta.
The Icons Ball.
Did you become an icon that night too?
No. Yeah, and it was 05 because it was the same year I got into the Hall of Fame. It was 05.
Okay. Well, that year,
right.
They deemed him statement. And he wasn't.
Right.
He just really started turning this category then.
They
so,
acknowledged him as a statement.
Right. Exactly. It's a difference. That's what I'm telling her. There's a difference in that. It's a big difference. It's a big difference.
There's a difference, elections. But go ahead. I'm following what you're saying. I'm just going to, every time you say deem, I'm going to say acknowledge. But go ahead.
Okay, acknowledge him as a statement. So this year, supposedly, they acknowledged him as a legend. The whole thing just came up, why he's not legendary. He hasn't done this. He hasn't done that. Like I tell, there's a lot of other people that may have, should have been deemed before him. But you cannot fault him because he was deemed. He was acknowledged.
I don't think no one is faulting him. I haven't heard this argument, and so this is my first time. Well, I take that back. Somebody had made a post, and then it was all of a sudden magically poof, it was gone. But I still got it because I got my shit emails to come to me from Facebook. So I didn't understand because I even texted him. I was like, "Man, you in New York? You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't know you was in New York," and that was the reason why I texted him because I didn't know. I don't know what's going on. Honestly, Alexis, I don't know what's going on. I really can't speak as an authoritative figure on this. But from what I knew, I thought it had already been done before.
Okay.
I'll be honest with you. I thought it had already been done before. So I, you know, and even to this day right now, I don't have a problem with that because, you know, I remember Ken walking and even going by himself and going different places and winning. And I remember when he was an 07, he was winning. So I'm lost at who has a problem with it. But, you know, if I ask them, I'm sure they'll tell me. But
oh,
I don't really care because it is what it is. I don't
right.
really care. I don't get
right.
myself mixed up into that.
Right. Thank you. I just, you know.
Okay. If you guys are on the phone lines and you want to touch up before we close out on the show, please press 1 and we can answer any of your questions. I'm going to go through the panel really quickly and ask them any other issues that they may have seen or witnessed when it comes to balls that maybe we did not touch up on. I just want to ask some of your opinions on it. We talked about judges' panels. We talked about too many balls being taken place at one time. We talked about some of the money and the grand prizes and how people are treating them. We even talked about people just running to each and every ball and picking and choosing their balls, you know, the way they do. But any other things that you see that need to be addressed when it comes to balls and what you witness as a judge, as a spectator, as an active walker, or even as a promoter, what are some of the other things that you do see and you want to get your opinion, you know, you want to get other people's opinions on? I'm going to start with Jasmine from Florida.
Could you ask that question again, please?
Okay. What are some of the issues that you see that at balls that maybe we have not addressed? And maybe you want to get the opinion of, you know, some of the other people. We got someone from Detroit. We have someone from Atlanta, New York. You know, we have different people on the line from Philly. What are some of the things that you witnessed that you just want to talk about?
Could you come back to me so I can think about it?
Okay, yeah. Vonna.
Wow, that's what it has. I think most of the stuff we cover. I mean, going back to this kind of legend thing with them, though, it bothers me because, like, even in Detroit, it's some people that when you hear it, you be like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. So I mean, that's really, I think, my major thing is like I know somebody personally, and I'm not going to name names, so I don't want anybody to think I'm about to make it hot. But I know somebody personally in my city that is legend, and I think in the 10 years that I've been out, I think I've maybe seen them walk 3 balls. But they are legend, and it boggles me. So I think that's probably the major thing that I feel is the problem, going back and piggybacking off what they said.
Okay. Marquise, anything you wanted to touch up on?
I think we touched up on everything. When I go to a ball, I really just have fun and look, and all that other stuff, like, I really don't let it get to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tony, anything you wanted to address as far as balls?
Yeah.
What do you feel?
I don't know if it's the issue, or so to speak, but I just feel like this. When these girls have problems with each other and they want to argue, if a bitch wants, if you say something to a bitch and she says something back to you, that's what's supposed to happen. Your hands is supposed to stay at your side. Because I believe that these girls need to start using their side. I know that a lot of these girls talking about they don't want to snitch. And, bitch, I don't give a fuck. You put your hands on me, honey, you going to jail. I don't give a flying fuck. These girls need to keep their hands to themselves. Don't be running to me. Don't be going after these girls and fighting Ken. That don't make no sense. It can't be nothing that important that you have to fight for her. I mean, I'm just being honest about the situation.
Yeah.
It's just like seriously, like, keep your hands to yourself. And if you have something to say to somebody, be prepared for them to say something back to you. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. This is real world. Because what if you hit somebody? I just want people to think like this. What if you hit somebody, honey, and they lose balance? And they hit their head on something and they die. Now you're in jail for the rest of your life and for what?
A function.
I mean, people really think for what? I just want people to really think about that. And you know, I mean, I understand the balance. I just read the document today that you know it's going to be implemented. I mean, it shouldn't be no necessity for a ban list if you've been raised properly.
There just really is no reason for that. It shouldn't have to come to that. No shade. I was never against it. I just was against the fact that people don't even try to condition people to bring
talk
forth what they learned at home. Yeah, bring forth some self-control.
Tony, you know what? I'm going to say this about that. To me, personally, and I agree with you about how you are raised, because I know it takes a lot for me to get to the point where I'm ready to fight, you know. But once again, I think it's more or less the house, because me being a nosy person, I'm in a lot of different places. Knowingly and unknowingly, I'm just going to leave it like that. But you'd be surprised at some of the leaders that be in the groups talking about, oh, if these bitches try it, you know, you beat them. You understand what I'm saying? But then on the forefront, you give in, oh, no, that's not what I teach. Stop fucking fronting. You lying. You know, it's all about respect for each other. How can you want somebody to respect you if you're not teaching that in your house? And you know that's what the whole thing is given. You know, like, don't let them bitches them hoes get out of line. You pop them. You know, that's not right. Because just like you say, something may happen and it may come to a point where you fucked up and you in jail for the rest of your life. But guess what? That person that told you to pop them, you don't hear from them. They don't write you. They don't accept your phone calls. They don't send you no money for commissary. They don't do a motherfucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's all about reality.
I know,
like,
that came from, too.
I stopped. Like, no shade. I've been home almost going on 2 years, and I haven't really been to a function like that because it's not even fun no more. It's not fun. All the fun has been taken out of the ballroom scene. It's too much arguing. People are bickering. People are going to jail. People are fighting. All for what? Over something that was supposed to be extracurricular.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question, Alexis. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, they're doing so many things, and it's kind of a turnoff for you. What? Name me three of the most things that you witness that turn you off when it comes to a ball. And that's what makes you say, child, I'm not even going. What are the top three things?
One, I'm a shady girl by nature. I love shade because I know how to give it. You know, but a lot of people can't take. They can dish it, but they can't take it. That's my big issue. If you want to be a shady person, you got to know how to take it. And granted, the ballroom scene has made me like this. Because I was a kind-hearted person when I first came to the scene, but the girls taught me not to be so motherfucking easy. So now it's just like, bitch, hey.
You're just a nosy person.
I'm nosy. I sit back and I do me. You understand? Hey, it's...
You do it. Alexa do shit smart, though. So I give it to her.
But Alexa, that's not answering the question. What do you feel turns you off? The shade or the not shade or people not being able to handle
not,
shade?
Not being able to take what they dish.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. And
another thing is I have witnessed people don't respect each other. I have seen friends, family fall out over categories.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen fights almost break out because... For a prime example, I have seen a fight almost break out in Atlanta that ended the whole function.
Okay.
Because two girls hit the floor. One, y'all don't see this girl for her category, right? So here we come. She's coming down the stairs. The whole building is going crazy. Nobody is walking the category except for one other person. And then as soon as she get on the runway, 15 other girls want to storm.
Mm-hmm.
One flip of the wrist, a flip of the ponytail. And a big fight is about to erupt. Ball over.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one
the
more.
Last thing would be...
God damn.
It ended the whole function. I think the no shade, the money... I remember like when I first came out, it was all about a trophy. It was all about getting of the year. It was all about making a name for yourself.
That's what I like about Alabama.
I have only been walking. I started in 2005, And when I came, I didn't even care about the cash. I just wanted to beat the bitch, or either, if not beat her, make her know that I was there.
Mm-hmm.
Like someone said earlier, ballroom scene is all about evolution. It's all about evolution because the ball scene is always changing. So just because you're hot today doesn't make you hot tomorrow. You may cool off for a few years and come back and be hot again because you've changed. You've evolved.
Gotcha.
It's just a lot.
Hassan, what are some of the things that you're witnessing that either turn you off or you feel need to be addressed?
I mean, honestly, like, today I saw a video that was very disturbing. I can't really discuss it until I discuss it with my house first, but it kind of disturbed me a little bit. It deterred me to even want to go to functions because of stuff like that. But I don't really want to elaborate into it until I address the people in the situation or whatever.
But she called her out and she got served.
Huh?
Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, but that was something that was, like, kind of disturbing. It really tickled me. Huh?
I'm lost.
Why are you lost?
Why would you say it is something that turns you off and not want to go to balls, but yet you don't even want
to balls, but to, like, okay, put it for instance. Okay, yesterday my house member had a fight before the ball even started at the little bowl night thing.
Yeah, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. We talked about that.
Right,
already.
Seeing something like that for me to take out of my time to go out and have a good time and stuff, that turned me off to want to go to that place again. As far as like going to Escalita, I'm not an Escalita fan, but I do go support when I used to live up there. But what I'm saying is to go there and before something even start and my own house member into something that just. I can't even explain it. I mean, I can't explain it. I got to ask the person.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like I got to ask the person what they was going through, what they was feeling, what the fuck that was about. Because when you look at it from a video standpoint, it's a difference. And I saw it last night live.
I saw it today,
you know what I'm saying, on a closer video. So, you know, I had got two different feelings from that. And before I addressed the person, it made me very angry. You know what I'm saying? It kind of appalled me. Like, damn, I'm a part of something like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? But, you know what I mean? I'm just sitting on it. I just saw it tonight.
That's how I felt Labor Day weekend, Hassan.
Right.
No,
I mean, that's true. Labor Day
weekend. Hold on, Hassan. You said, now I just want to clarify what you said. You said that what took place caused you to not want to go to Escalita's again, or it caused you to not want
to
be a part
of... Go to the mini function. I could go to Escalita on a regular night and have a good time.
Is it the mini function's fault that it happened that way?
Say that again?
Is it the mini function's fault that it happened,
It's the person's fault. That happened that way, but then at the same time, you got to blame the venue too. Okay, you're supposed to throw them people out. I mean, that's how I'm older, so I'm going to think like that. You know what I'm saying?
You're basically saying that, you know, the venue should have stood up, threw the people out, and moved on with the function or whatever.
Right.
And because you see that the venue tolerated what took place.
No. Okay, don't base it all on the venue. The issue is the person that started the situation. You know what I'm saying? I don't know her, so I can't really speak on it until I have a conversation with her. As a leader, I have to talk, you know what I'm saying? I have to talk to them first and see what's going on, see what happened or whatever. You know what I mean? But for right now, I took myself out of all my rooms and it was just too much, you know what I mean, for me.
Okay.
So I just need to sit on it for a minute. But the other two things is I want to say, like, just the too many balls everywhere. I think it's becoming a little redundant. I'd rather go back to the house balls giving a ball, and that be that. But I can understand certain individuals giving a ball. But everybody giving a ball every week or the day after, and you know what I'm saying, or people who are not in the house giving balls and stuff like that. Like, I kind of have not people who are not in the balls, but certain people give balls and just, I don't know, put this name on the flyer and put this name on the flyer, and then they got a ball and stuff. And here it is, mandatory for us to go. You know what I'm saying? I don't see stuff like that. I don't think we ain't used to do shit like that back in the day. And then the other stuff is just the other issue, the third thing. I mean, the third thing is the Vogue film, the soft and kind and the dramatics, the female figures, and the Butch Queen of Drags, the film queens, and what is it? All female figures, I guess. Just to separate into that, I'd rather go back to the regular way of separating it. I just don't see female figures battling on Butch Queen of Drags, battling, you know what I'm saying? And especially from seeing how they was last night, they kicking and, oh, just all types of shit. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know what I'm saying? That's a turnoff to me. So, and back in the day, I used to go to a ball for a certain category just to see or premiere certain categories or know that certain people is coming storm a category. Now it's no fun like that to even anticipate that thought, you know? Because outside of anticipating the thought to go to a ball and spend $30 for a ball, I'm one of the ones that's paying for a hotel, paying for either the plane, the train, the car, whatever, however that go. We all do that, you know what I'm saying? And to a degree, I'd be feeling like, well, damn, I could have wasted my money somewhere else. I could have did this, I could have did that. You know what I mean? It'd be a waste. And, you know, I don't know, I'm just over that, so.
Okay.
Tommy?
My only problem with it is the lack of loyalty and the easiness it is for people to house hop.
Because
I know it wasn't like that when I was coming up. You wasn't just walking out of some house, and then the leaders don't even call one another to find out nothing. Or if they do, they telling you some old bullshit, like they want to talk about it at a ball. Who the fuck got time to talk about some shit at a ball? You know what I'm saying? That's not cool. That's not cool at all. Or going up to people making these microwave mothers and fathers, talking about, oh, they ain't make you mother yet, they ain't make you father yet, or you want to be, girl, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real? You mean to tell me you can't look within your own house and get your own motherfucking leaders? To me, that's tired. You saying your whole house tired.
Right.
To me.
How do you guys feel about, and especially you, Tony, how do you feel about, you know, when it comes to, for example, East Coast mother father or Midwest or West Coast, and we lost Tony. I think his phone disconnected, so he's not going to be able to answer that. But how do you guys feel about that question as far as those titles go, but not the titles itself, but the fact that they're given to people who are 23, 24 years old that are still very young. And you know, they don't really have that experience. What is your opinion on that?
I'm about to call somebody 23 years old mother, and I'm 30.
This is my thing. I love Kelly Down, right? Kelly started a trend, right? You have people who it's sometimes I think those titles are just to shut people up.
Yeah.
I mean, because at the end of the day, you don't need a East Coast, you don't need Midwest. If you have parents that creates a chain of command that they don't follow. Because say for instance, Tiana's overall Midwest mother. I don't fuck with Tiana, so I'm going to go to somebody else, or I'm going to go to Tony, and because I don't really fuck with Tiana, and we and her don't really kick it like that. So I'm going to go to Tony and talk to Tony about this. But then it creates too many problems. Too many people with too many titles holding too many positions creates too many problems.
Right. I mean, I think that some people don't fulfill, they just got the title for the title, and they don't fulfill it for what it's.
Why give it to them if they can't? Sometimes you give people titles just to shut them up. There are some people that I look at as mothers and fathers. My thing is, if you're a mother or father, there should be something that you can teach me, something that I can look up to you for, something that you. There's nothing.
Well,
I don't want to call nobody's name because I don't want to hurt nobody.
I mean, that's a different type of thing too, because I could say, like, you know, Sanaya and Dre was my mother and father. I pretty much had my family backbone. I know everybody don't have that family backbone,
right.
But I had my family backbone, and I had people like Tony Milan, Tony Revlon, James Icon. I had all them type of people around me. So, you know, they always pushed me to stay in college, do what you got to do, stay in school, work, make sure you work. You know what I'm saying?
I'm talking about like. For instance, me, Tony, Harold, all us, Jason, we used to kick the shit a lot back in the day. This is my thing. When I say parents, it's like the ballroom parents, the house parents. You know, you have a person. You have people that are parents who can't offer shit but a pretty face. You got to get them together for the category. You got to make sure they get there. You got to do it. And then at the end of the day, well, what you a parent for?
Right, those people need to go out. So what kind of parents are there out there?
What you say, I'm sorry?
What kind of parents are there out there? Because I got a list on one side, and then I got a list on another side. That's why I'm not saying it like that. I don't want you to put no names out there like that. You know, me and you talk a lot, so we pretty much know. But at the same time, what do you expect from the people that put those people in that authority? What do you expect from those people that put them up in that power like that?
What are you asking? What I look for in a parent?
Hassan and Alexis, hold on. That is going to have to be another topic. Actually, you know what? We'll dedicate it a night to that topic as far as ballroom parents. But we only have.
I mean, it's questions. It'd be questions that I ask that I just. I sometimes can't lie. I don't have the answer to, and you know, I don't know them parents like that to ask that, or you know the people in that house to ask that. But it'd be like, well, damn. Sometimes I just feel like, how do they just get to that level of okay, yeah, they're a ball walker, but what else? You know, because I'm nosy. I like to know things too. Like, okay, well, what the fuck do you actually do for your house, or is the house just doing everything for you to let you sit, let the house sit pretty?
But you're right. That's something that we probably need to discuss. But before we do that, I want to let everyone, we only have 7 minutes left, so I want to give everybody a chance to make some closing statements really quickly. I'm going to start off with Jasmine.
A closing statement? What do you mean a closing statement? Like, addressing everything we talked about?
No, because we don't even have enough time. I just want to say thank you for everybody being a part of the show.
If
you wanted to basically just close out with, you know, get it together, ballroom, come to Florida and visit tonight.
I got you. Okay, well, you know, it was my pleasure being part of this. It was very interesting. That was a good point. I do want to stress to everyone to come down to Florida because Florida is beautiful. It's sunny. I mean, why not come here? You have La Asia's ball, April 14th. That's my little baby boy. The ball is going to be sickening. It was sickening last year. It's coins. You'll get to see me. I'll be there. And I just want to say good night to everyone, and that's that.
Thank you, Jasmine. Vanna,
shout out to Balonic. Sorry.
Vanna, anything you got to say? Any closing statements?
I just immensely enjoyed myself tonight. I definitely would like to do this again. And I just want people to understand it when they listen to it. You know better, you do better. You follow people that you know going to teach you, lead you the right way. Stop being puppets and fools.
All right. Thank you, Vanna. Marquis?